This episode of conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the support link.
Good evening. We apologize most sincerely to those of you who have come on to hear, to listen to the Be Told Show with Rick. Tonight's show is actually the Alex Jones Hour, featuring Alex Jones. Thank you very much.
Hi, folks. This is Alex Jones. I have to be very quiet at the moment. I am in the lunar surface of the moon, hiding in a crater surrounded by gay frogs. I'm telling you, folks, gay frogs. I have to be very quiet. If they come near me, I'll become one of them. Thank you, folks.
No, you actually aren't on the Alex Jones Show. You're on the Be Told Show, episode number 63. Saturday, the 18th of April 2026 on the Be Told Show. Will you hear ice? Yes. Will you hear drinking and slurping? Very likely. Where is my microphone? Are you actually even hearing me? This is interesting. Here it is here. I found it. Last week there was knocking and banging and things like that. Honestly, I just cringe. Why are people contacting me and saying they love the show when I'm making so many annoying noises? Yes, I do. But that's, you know, getting old, getting grey, getting ripped off, getting underpaid. That's the way it is these days. Making annoying noises. The older you get, the more annoying noises you make. Groans when you... I actually literally make groaning noises when I get stand up and bend down. And other people look around and look at me and go, what do you make that noise for? I just make it automatically. It's just the way it is. It's the way it is. Thank you very much to – I've been in contact by a number of people out there that listen to the show. Ireland, England, Cambodia, America, obviously, Canada. And Australia and New Zealand, all sorts of people all over the place. And thank you for contacting me. I think it's still rick@fakeologist.com or rick@truthmeets. Should be rick@truthmeets.com. Now, I've just been wasting my time again. I'm in a quandary here. I've explained to people before, you cannot go into Fakeologist and talk about chemtrails or anything like that, or talk about anything that's real. Obviously, there's a, how would you call it? There's a thing over there that you're not allowed to talk about certain things. Frank used to get kicked off for talking about Christianity. Now he's a regular show host on there. But the reason why I get so befuddled and annoyed with the chemtrail, or I call sky fuckery, is at the moment we're going through real things. Before, when it was just, you know, say 20 years ago when people first started going on about it, because it started about 1998 in Australia and in America and Canada, etc., etc. And New Zealand, though, only just, you know, 5 years ago. Only 5 years ago. I mean, I can talk about this up and down, underwater, on top of water, sideways, upside down, standing on my feet, lying down, doing a pirouette, spinning around nonstop. I know this stuff because I've been around for, remembering stuff since the late 60s. We're now in 2026. Now, in 1933, H.G. Wells put out as The Shape of Things to Come. They talk about the army of the sky or the vigil, they were called, and it was the control of the public by the air. Now, without going into speaking about spraying and things like that, but this is the future, and he knew in 1933 that the air is going to be, they do it. Now, it's going to be drones, I'll just tell you now. Drones can do anything. They can put fires out, start fires, make it rain, make it not rain. There's weather manipulation, drone technology out there big time. The Chinese government, I'll read you some Chinese government stuff from their the corporation, the business side of them. This is the business side because the Chinese love business. I'll just tell you right now. The Beijing Weather Modification Corporation. Come on, hurry up. There it is, Wikipedia. The Beijing Weather Modification Office. The Beijing Weather Modification Office is a unit of the Beijing Meteorological Bureau tasked in weather control in Beijing. Now, you saw this when they cleared the skies using a lot of different techniques, including switching off a lot of stuff and wind and all sorts of things for the 2000 and whatever Olympics it was. Oh, I can't remember. I'm not in the sport. And its surrounding areas, including Hebei and Inner Mongolia. So Inner Mongolia completely, which is vast tracts of land. The Beijing Weather Modification Office form a part of China's nationwide weather control, believed to be the world's largest. It employs 37,000 people nationwide who seed clouds by firing rocket shells loaded with silver iodide in them. They're not mentioning the drones and the aircraft until you get scroll further down. And then you can use AI to find it as well if you want. AI will bring up the results as well. I actually have been using a bit of AI lately, just, out of curiosity. Loaded with silver iodide into them. According to Zhang Qing, head of the office, cloud seeding increased precipitation in Beijing by about 1/8 in 2004, nationwide similar efforts added 210 cubic kilometers of rain between 1995 and 2003. That's a fair bit of water. Is that the beeps coming into my head? No. The work of the office is largely aimed at hailstorm prevention or making it. I'll just tell you that one. They can make it or they can get rid of it. Or making rain to end droughts. They have the induced precipitation for firefighting or counter-injecting the affair of severe dust storms, because we've had them in Australia. I've seen the skies orange for days, and there's red dust everywhere when the winds turn around and blow over Australia. As I said, the wind is Sydney. They can do it, be told. Their technology was also used to create snow on New Year's Day in 1997. Bless them. Now, they have got no shame in telling you how much powerful power they've got. Thailand, I've been sharing stuff onto the fakeologist. One particular spot, I do not go on their general thing, but Wald Times has put some, he's into this stuff, and he is way more clever than I am. The guy's got a degree in something or other. He's a science type. Not like me, a complete Luddite. I need to go back to see that make sure I'm being recorded. And I am going green. I was going green in a different way when I was getting angry, just seeing the responses that you get on, particularly from a couple of hosts, both called Tim. Just ridiculing you. What did you know? Blah, blah, blah. Listen, what do I know? I know an awful lot. I'll just tell you right now. And yet the the negative effect is I'm not, for some reason, I thought, I just can't be bothered going over there anymore. I'll go there eventually, but it won't be for a while. I mean, it could be tonight. Will I have a few drinks and forgive them? No. But it's not, look, it's not his fault. He's got someone's, either him or someone has said, you cannot talk about it. You've got to rubbish this. And he has been consistently. Same with the other Tim, Osman, pseudonym, and his cult members, the Penguins. You know, they have to do it as well, because it's just like that. You like dealing with Scientologists or some fundamentalist sect when you have to talk about the stuff with these guys, because they will not allow you just to say, look, it's simple technology, silver iodide or aluminium oxide or sulfur oxide, whatever it's called. Really simple technology. They've been using it for years. But they play it down because they don't want you knowing how much they can affect your country's crops and turn you into an area that you're going to be going on to. Wait for it. Rationing. And just like Orwell said, an expert at psychological propaganda. And we're speaking about propaganda, because it is propaganda when people say that you can't do things, when it's like so obvious, it's gaslighting the fuck out of people. Susie's getting upset. Why would you bother going on to the Folkologist audio chat and talking about the stuff at all, as far as I'm concerned? You're going to get met with a whole lot of cult members, you know. Whatever he says, I will say. Repeating themselves, creating arguments, wasting your time. And now I've got to the stage now with my truth frequency. Is just out there. I can hear lies, see lies everywhere. Pop complaint to Miss Brahms, JF1. Miss Brahms, the name is, at Rick at truthmeets.com. Secretary to Rick. I heard a popping noise. And he just about, watch this, listen to this. Ice. Even though it's, actually, to be honest, I'll tell you this. We've got bushfires happening. Just to top off everything, apart from the mysterious fires in oil refineries, one of the only ones we've got. What a strange story that was. And it was definitely on fire, by the look of it. And the next day, Soph, whatever her real name is, if it's a woman, I'm guessing she's a chick. I put a photo that the next day someone took a shot and there was no smoke coming off that part of the refinery. Now, if you've had a major fire, there'd still be smoke coming off it if that photo was real or it was part of this disinformation propaganda that we're getting saturated with, pardon the rainfall pun. But again, greatest show on the internet at the moment, Be Told with Rick. I say that because I know I haven't heard. Sorry, I know I trust myself, and that a lot of people have met me. I met someone. I think I talked about it. One or the other, the female, newish persons on there, caught up for just a very brief drink a month and a half ago. Another real person. I hope to be going and visiting the salt mines in Geelong this next Thursday or Friday. I think Friday will be my day is free that day. I am keen to go and see the salt mines or the salt factory and perhaps purchase a bag of salt from Frank, live in person. I've met him 3 times already, but this will be the 4th time, I think. Is that right? Was this 3rd time? Anyway, I've caught up with Frank a few times for breakfast, drinks, et cetera, et cetera. This time I may go to karaoke with him if I get a chance. I'll get up and sing. What would I get up and sing? I'll do a Klaus Schwab's rendition of, what could Klaus Schwab sing? Klaus came on and sang Puppet on a String about 5 or 6 years ago on Fakeologist. I do believe. And so maybe you could sing Puppet on the String by Sandy Shaw live in a karaoke bar. I'll just have to take a monocle with me, put my monocle in, get up and do my Klaus Schwab. Sorry, imitate Klaus Schwab. Very rarely would I ever do that. But the real one is actually on the show in a semi. You're certainly on the Rick and Rollo show. Anyway, so back to today's show is the episode 63, which is number nine. This is replacing the Rick and Rollo show, sadly, because I haven't heard from him since last week, and I'm not going to ring up. So I tend to tell him off a bit, you know, and say, what are you fucking doing? Do this, do that. You've got to, and when you're sick, the last thing you want is some control freak ringing you up. So I just leave him. Hopefully he's listening to me. Beautiful beer. Wonderful to hear. I got a couple of nice emails today from people that said, keep drinking, keep making clinking noises. One of them's a painter, decorator type, not myself. When I can, I actually am doing a bit of painting, I think maybe on Monday. But really nice to get messages from people that are listening. I think you can go to Rick at Fakeologist and Rick at Truth Meets. I think you should be able to get me somehow and send a message. And I do look at them. I don't often have a lot of time to sit there and reply, but it happens. Now, Joel is in the middle of this huge change in his life. He's moving into his new pad. How fantastic. He is not going to know himself when he moves in there. He become the king of his domain. If he wants to go and stick a poster up on a wall or knock a wall down or set fire to a wall, when you own the property, you can do so. Be told. It's so liberating, I tell you. I keep forgetting about how liberated I am now because I rented for years or tried to get free accommodation as often as possible. I hated paying rent, I'll tell you now. But, you know, I had to when I, you know, three little children. You're listening to Be Told.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the support link. Truthmeets.com, click on the support link.
Be Told 63. You're listening to Rick. All the way in Australia. Kangaroos hopping about. Koalas falling out of the tree. Well, I haven't seen any recently, but they are there. And you know how you find a koala? You don't look up, you look down. There's always piles of poo on the ground wherever they are, sitting there eating. What a life. They make cats look like industrious creatures. They are the most laid-back creature I've ever encountered. They're just, you know, it's like they're stoned all the time. I reckon they probably are getting stoned off the gum leaves. That's why they act like they do. They're just, the personality zero. They just eat and shit. That's about it. And climb occasionally. And climb. Now, after, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Everything I said last show, whatever it was called, Visions of You with the Ja Wobble song, the opposite happened to me. I said that the Germ Warfare show was probably the best you could listen to. I also said I was running down maybe the week before David Icke and also, what's his name, Higher Side Chats. Well, blame me down. God punish me. The Higher Side Chats with David Icke, Icky, it was one of the better shows I've listened to for a long time, having a go at the new amount of truthers that have come out of woodwork. And I'm telling you now, this is the propaganda going on and damage control is, and guys coming out and pretending to be, you know, up there like James Dellingpole sounds more like the most craziest stuff you've ever heard on Fakeologist ever on steroids. And he speaks this plummy English accent. James Dellingpole. You know, like, I just listen to him and I go, there's something not right about you, Sonny. There's something not right about you. And you've got Candace Owens. A whole Australian media tops are suddenly resigning from position and suddenly say things about vaccines. It's like all of a sudden these, I call it, they're like, what was it called? Trojan horses coming out of the woodwork, you know, and inside them is this bullshit that they're ready to spin off something. It's happening. And there's David Icke absolutely knocking it out of the park. Because I can hear the frequency in the person's voice. He was saying some good stuff. And even Carl Wood was saying some good stuff, as he sometimes does, in between some of his sillier guests he gets on. Anyway, there's germ warfare. And it never helps when you've got, you know, all bits are off, you know. Certificate, get rid of the blicks. If they're not saying anything that you agree with, they sound 10 times worse. And if for some reason he's brought on this James Lee or whatever his name is, he's been around for years, has a couple of websites. I know his stuff. He says one thing, then he turns it around and says another. It's basically, as I just said to Ab then, who asked me if I literally listened to the show, which of course I had, it was the equivalent of Oliver Stone's JFK movie. You went in there and came out more confused than you went. You came out more confused. And listening to that crap that he put out the other day, so, you know, he mentions yeah, they are doing geoengineering, but it's actually just pollution coming out of the planes. It's this, it's that, you know, fuck off. Absolute. This is disinformation propaganda. Propaganda. Up there with A.A. Morris. And anyone out there who probably doesn't know about the A.A. Morris story, one day I should just do a show on A.A. Morris, because he came after the fakeologists and the Dave J. Hoaxbusters crew. He sounded fantastic. He did 20 fantastic or 30 great shows, and then he just went mental. You get away, you know, John LePan got it. He's coming out. He's saying this. He was so hilarious. And I think I actually was imitating him, and people were thinking that I was him, but it was not me. It could be IPS. IPS sounds a little bit like A.A. Morris, slightly, if he, you know, did an impersonation. Is he? Could he have been? There you go. That's one for the conspiracy people out there. But A.A. Morris, you know, Trojan horse, came in, sounded fantastic, and then just started finding out who the people were that were saying it was, you know, particularly Sandy Hook. You know, he went after those people. It was a complete operation for sure. Even though I detected that guy was actually really having a meltdown when he had his meltdown. He fucking melted down. We're talking about 7 years ago, roughly, approximately. Incredible. I used to have all the episodes, but I lost them. But Mism Faye, she's got them out there, and she did share me a link to them, but I possibly have lost them. But I'll try to contact Faye and get hold of him, because these are well worth it. He was so good, and then he just went fucking banana-shaped. Is that the word for it? Oh, I would say banana-shaped. But anyway, so there's me raving on about how good germ warfare. 7 days later, I'm saying the guy is up to no good, because I'd know for a – and Johnny's List pointed it out, and he was right, that these guys push China as a wonderful place to live, that complete with all their 1933 level, you know, of technocracy. You know, you're going to feel a lot safer there, obviously, compared to South Africa, because there's cameras almost every three steps you go, and a group of armed police and drones ready to come and possibly shoot you if you break one of their rules. Smiling in an area you can't smile in. You know, they could do these things. Yes, they could. Delicious. What am I drinking tonight? Did you ask? Rollo would have. James Squire, low carb, pale ale. Fabulous. Out of a bottle. Absolutely fabulous. Yeah, now, so there's germ warfare bringing on this guy, and he's had a couple of hit pieces. He also has brought on the guy that does that, what in the world are we spraying, that guy, complete opposition that have been set up, just like the whole of the 9/11 truth movement. Every one of them I don't trust. The only ones, you know, the ones that cleverly went through and exposed it, the whole thing was just a movie, and it was well rehearsed, and that was September Clues. I still give them credit, even though later found out that his brother worked for the Bin Ladens and the racing, was the racing, worked for or drove for Bin Laden Racing Company. So he had a link there. Was that, whatever. And my one, my smoking gun, that, and this is a very suspicious thing about folkologists. They all will not acknowledge the book that the, slash, we'll call it Eskimo slash Austrian. One lot said it was the Eskimos doing it. The other one is the Austrians. And I find it was definitely not the Austrians. So it was some Israeli art project, the, gelatin bee project. You can still Google images that they took from this book. It's $400 to $600 to buy online now, where they went in a year before the towers went down and did all these weird things, including taking out a window exactly at the same level people were jumping out. What a coincidence. That's my smoking gun. You can't talk about that on Fakeologist. That is a real, that was a rip. That really put an alarm bell to me. That's why I never say, would never just call myself one of them. It's like you're putting yourself in with, it's like saying I'm a, loony or a, cause you got to be an individual. Truth is your own truth. But when you can smell a rat, you can smell a rat, and you're usually 100% correct. But Gelatin Bee, the art project, that's the smoking gun. The thing was a whole film, guaranteed. They hired a chopper to fly around and were out there taking their clothes off and waving things. This, 1 year exactly before, level 91 and 92, was it 33 and 34, whatever. I think it was not level 91, 92. It was, there'd be another 11 in there. Everything was 11. That's what woke me up too, you know, being a numerologist and into astrology and stuff and numerology back in the day when it first happened. I was going, giant 11s hit on 9/11 and 11, you know, the 11th story or 110 stories, 11, 11, 11. Keep seeing 11s everywhere. That's what made me go, things that make you go, good song. And we're not playing it though. Let me tell you now, Lupe Fiasco, which is, I would describe as the Labor Party at the moment in Australia, Lupe Fiasco. I heard via the fabulous, though not 100% accurate, Media Monarchy show, but I get the best music off there. James Evan Pallada, I will shout that guy out as having a great ear for music. Absolutely fabulous. Brand new song. We'll be playing that when we go out, and it makes a lot of sense about some of the stuff I'm saying. You need to unchain your brain from all the bullshit and not be part of a cult or part of a group or an ist. You've got to be an individual. I am an individual. We are all individuals, be it told. You know, I'm going to mute and I'll be back, be it told, very shortly. And he's back. And he's back. Now, I must tell people out there too, if you want to have your own conversation, truthmeets.com. Send a donation in if you want to do a show. And just all you have to do is organize, contact someone, say, do you want to do a show? Be there at a certain time. I will not come in. Like if I see other people, apart from the Dave J and I show, which is recorded usually, but well, not for a couple of weeks from now, but about 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. on a Sunday. That's the only time the place is for, you know, because I do not see Rollo coming back in a hurry, sadly. And so I can do my own stuff whenever I want on any night. So if you've got a group of people that want to do a show, Susie, there's a whole lot of people on here. They can come on and talk about what you want to talk about without getting ridiculed, particularly if you want to talk about weather manipulation. And I will do something, and I've got Jan Eriks keen to do stuff on the subject. He's 100% with me. He's been around for years. You know, he was with Chris Kendall, another guy that was into this stuff. We could see what was going down. It was just all sorts of weird stuff, but no one can actually point a bone or a finger and say exactly what's happening. But Dave actually has really explained a whole lot of it because he understands, you know, he worked in technology and he understands these different things that they can do with metals and whatever. But and I'm not talking about rain magnet. I'm talking about the higher level, conductor. He worked with superconductors and they can do – they use also graphene as a thing. You know, there are people, look, honestly, the argument's going on. That's why I suddenly about a month ago, I just went, hang on, I can smell this. I talked about on the show 5-6 shows ago, the rabbit hole conspiracy. There are so many rabbit holes and there are people waiting to get you arguing to waste your time. Why don't you start just debating yourself, you know, you're masturbating, literally. And I've spent too much time, even this afternoon, I've sent about 10 links on, noise, JF1, Miss Brahms, her name is, just ring up and put a complaint in, ice clinking noises, slurping. You're going to get a whole lot of that if you hang around me. And I've actually decided that if I do actually, if anyone does bump into me in the streets, whatever, I'm going to carry in my pocket glass with marbles in it, and I'll just every time I'm talking, every now and then I'll start shaking it randomly, and then you'll go, "Oh, that's him." Sounds exactly like he does on his podcast. I hear clinking noises, and I'll just make random slurping noises as well. I can do this, and I listen to this. Fantastic, James Bogue, you've done it again. Low carb beer, we love it. I got so much to talk about. I mean, I've got about 3 shows of stuff that I can just rattle off the top of my head. I have no shortage of conversation. 1, 2, 3, 4. Did you hear that? Yes, you did. And I wanted you to hear it. But again, I'm really happy to have people contact me and say they're enjoying the show. I actually, one of the guys, I won't say his name, but he's in Ireland. I'll just say that. He was talking about the very amazing thing about his grandfather's funeral and we're talking about IRA, and he filled me, he had a whole lot of good stuff that he filled me in about what IRA means, and IRA, you know, it means a whole lot of different things. I didn't even bother researching. I just knew it meant a whole lot of stuff. Dave talked about some of it on the last conversation last week, but he filled me in with a whole lot more stuff. And, you know, it means so many things. And it's in your face, IRA, Iran, Iraq, with a Q and an N. It's neuro and psycho-linguistic programming, just seeing those words together. Old words mean things, spellcraft. It just popped into my head as these things do. I was going to say, I'll move on to something else actually, because I can and I will. The other day, I'm always on about the yellow sun. You would know that if you listen to me, how the sun used to be in the sky on a blue sky day. If it was midday, it was up there and it had a very yellow tinge to it. That's gone now. It's now just burning white, and it has been for at least 15 years, probably 20-something years. But it just slowly started turning white, and now it's completely white, apart from when it's sunset and sunrise, where it gets haze in the distance and particulates and pollution. It looks yellowish or orange, but it used to be on a blue sky. It was completely yellow. And Serena, who I had a drink with, she said the same thing. She's, you know, roughly the same age as me, and completely verified it. That's, I think, how she, you know, she started listening somehow. I don't know where she heard She might have heard Dave's show or whatever, but Yellow Sun. The sun was yellow. You'd be told. Anyone wants to argue, do not come on the show because you're not going to get an argument. I'm just going to tell you to go away. Not worth talking to. Anyway, I was driving down because my toaster blew up the other day. I don't know what happened, but it blew up. Toasters do not last like they used to, be told. And I drove down to the op shop that I, this time last year, was working for. Sadly, I lost that job. Probably for a good reason, though, because I had so much, I was hoarding like you would not believe. I'm still looking around. Half the house is filled up with things that I've, when I was going down there, I'd just start buying because it was so cheap. Or it was in their bins. They were throwing stuff out. Anyway, I pulled in. I looked over and I saw this big golden sun with a red background on a painting, and I kind of went, eh. I got out. I was walking towards the shop, and I'm not joking here. I am not joking. It moved. It started wobbling to make – you're listening to Brutal.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Thank you very much, Joel. What a voice. Be told, episode number 63. Oh, on the 18th, did I say? Of April 2026. I haven't got the, you know, I must have been so baffled or whatever a few years ago. I was getting the year wrong consistently. What a strange person. Anyway, there I was. I drove down. This is a totally random thing to do. I thought I should just go down and have a look if they've got toasters there because they usually do. Cheap, secondhand, you know, donated. Some of them got vaccinated and died young. Yes, yes, yes. Or younger. Anyway, I drove in, I pulled in again. There was this big painting sitting there on the outside. They put it outside. They've got stuff on the outside of the shop to try and get rid of. And as I got out of my van, it started wobbling. Was it the wind that did it, or did it want me to buy it? And I'm telling you now, it wasn't even a windy day. And I said, yeah, I'm coming to get you. And I walked up to it. Not only was it an original hand-painted oil painting, great big, huge, like it's about a meter square each way. It is absolutely beautiful, and it's of a yellow, a golden sun on with a red background. And, oh, my God, it looks fantastic. It's in my living room now. I couldn't believe it. I just went, thank you, Jesus. There was some kind of spiritual thing that happened. I just randomly decided to go down there. $3 for a huge original artwork. Unbelievable. It's now in the above my fireplace. It's so cool too. And I'm not, because I'm always on about yellow suns, golden suns. Oh yes, and you would know that. Yes, you would. Light doesn't work again. Do not do what I'm doing out there. This is a health warning. Unless you're into being healthy and ignoring, if they say something's bad for you, it probably isn't. If they say it's good for you, it probably is terribly toxic for you. Chocolate. Are you aware of chocolate, the chocolate conspiracy, how much chocolate now has been replaced with seed oils, and they've got rid of the cocoa butter. They've removed it and they're putting five types of seed oils in your normal eating chocolate. Toilet paper, the toilet paper conspiracy. My son got annoyed with me tonight. He rang me, and normally me and him wouldn't have had this conversation because I would have been on the Rick and Rollo show at 5:30-ish. But he rang me. I spoke to him for half an hour. Fantastic. And he goes, Dad, I've already got enough, you know. He goes, you're talking to your son here. I'm already, you know, removing this and removing that on my diet, not the toilet paper, please. And I said, look, I've just been seeing so much stuff about how much toxins are in toilet paper. Look into it. Guaranteed, you've got to find an organic toilet paper, if there's such a thing. Brown, pardon the pun, unbleached paper, toilet paper would probably be the one. It probably wouldn't sell because of the colour. Everything has to be white for some reason, but we know why. Look into your toilet paper. It could be doing all sorts of nasty things to a very sensitive part of your body, which takes in these toxins. The bottom. That's the only way I can describe it on this show, for in case there's people under 30 listening. The bottom. Be careful about what you're putting on your bottom. Yep. guaranteed. So yeah, that was a total weird thing that just happened, and it was there for me, waiting for me, and it wobbled as I walked towards it. I'm not joking here, folks. I'm not joking. I was going through my incredible amount of things that I can talk about. Oh, last Sunday, that's right, after the show I did last Saturday night, I went to a scattering of ashes from an amazing guy who died in his 90s. He was like I used to talk to him all the time as a family joined the Surf Life Saving thing about 15 years ago up where I live. He was like a big John Wayne type, you know, and it was like a patriarchal kind of thing. He'd run the place as a volunteer, built it and built buildings for it, did all for free. His whole thing was saving lives. He'd grown up in Manly. He was in the Manly Surf Life Saving team. He's a legend there. And he'd become a legend up here. He passed away very sadly last year, and they scattered his ashes. And I went there, and I thought, oh, my ex will be there as well, because you know she wasn't, but her partner was there. Well, I didn't even recognise him. He's greyer with a moustache. I probably understand why he's a bit greyer. Don't be mean. Anyway, we went and we did this, you know, you had to march through, and it's a proper kind of a semi-military type thing where they hold the big oars up and you have to march in a circle around, and it was an organized kind of troop of the colors for the Surf Life Saving group. And the guys, these people that are in the surf living, because I've got a really dangerous beach near where I live, I'll tell you right now. Two of the guys walked out into the water and started spreading the ashes into the water. They waited for this, is it seven waves? I think it's this set of waves, and then the rip comes through. And the rip, my kids know more about this than I do, but you can't, the rip is where the water, when the rip crest goes over a little wave, there's no foam in it. It's sucking the water back out from the last amount of water that went in there. And they did it. They waited till the rip came and they tipped all these ashes. And it was almost like that scene in one of my favorite comedies, Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid, when Steve Martin's been edited into a movie with Burt Lancaster, and he asks him if he wants a cup of Java, his famous Java, which is coffee. You got to watch it. It's so funny. And he starts tipping. He's got a small container. He starts tipping it out. And they've edited it. So just is a continuous amount of stuff. It never stops. Goes for about 2 minutes. So funny. Well, this is what these ashes were like. Big John's, and his name is John, actually. Big John. Great song. Jimmy Dean, Big John. Great song. Should I play that? No, I'm going to play that. Lupe Fiasco. What a great song. They went for ages, and they're tipping this, and it seemed like an unlimited amount of ashes was coming out of this container, but he was a big guy and he had a lot of ashes, let's just say that, and he got sucked out the rip into the sea where he's been guarding nonstop since he was in his 30s when he first moved here. Back in 1969, he was a father figure type. You know, he'd ring me up, see I was all right, you know, when I was going through some dramas back in the day. Just one of those guys. Proper guy, you know, proper man. There's sadly, there's not many of them around anymore. not many any around anymore that you can trust with your life. And that's what you've got to have to, you've got to be that individual with this truth thing too. You who cannot lie. Anyone, and I keep saying this, that would deliberately put someone's truth, combobulate their truth by just deliberately gaslighting you about any particular subject, including one I just talked about, you're going to go down big time just with karma or natural law, the natural law. You lie to anybody that and to ruin their truth, you will pay. You will pay. Guaranteed. And this guy was, he was just one of those guys, and he's had some, you know, life is tough. You know, his grandson had committed suicide about 4 or 5 years ago, tried to get help, rang up people and went and jumped off a, you know, a bridge or whatever, and there was no one there to help. Oh, it's just horrific. And, you know, he's just a tough guy. Life is tough. These things happen all the time. If you're not ready and you don't have a tough kind of interior to back up, you're just going to fall to pieces. Fall to pieces. And that's what life's all about, though. It's testing you and toughening you up. A very good friend of mine, and by coincidence, thank God I wasn't on the Fakeologist show, because normally I used to go on there on Saturday night after I did Rick and Roll or whatever. And last week I said, nah, I'm over it. I don't want to go in there and start arguing, even though I didn't need to go in there and argue. But I'm just, when we're going through food shortages, which is going to happen, it's going to happen. And I know why we're going these things. Part of it was the engineered weather manipulation over our heads up there that destroyed the farms and the crops and stuff like that. And now we're going through another one. It's at a different level now. Anyone that you think is just up to no good, you're just not going to want to even be anywhere near them. And last week, I was just sitting there after I'd hung up on the last Be Told, and a very good friend of mine going through a real crisis the last month or so rang me. We spoke for 2 hours. I would never have got that phone call if I'd been just talking about nothing and wasting my time over on, not talking about nothing, but wasting my time on whatever show I would have gone on. And we spoke, and I was there for a good reason, because he has been through some serious issues. You know, he's had a bit of bad temper, and he ended up being, you know, I'll just say knocked a guy out for good reason. And you can't do that anymore. You get charged if they want to charge you because it's domestic, well, not domestic violence, but it's any violence now, unless you're part of a minority that's been come over here from certain countries. Africa's one of them. You seem to be able to do anything and not get into trouble, but not if you're a white guy with no criminal history and you lose your shit because someone's done something and you knock someone out. Next thing you know, you're facing 5 to 7 years in jail. That's about, you know, what you could get for a offence. Anyway, I was talking to him and I said, you know, you're here, this is there to test you, and it's testing you, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the police were on his side, which is a good thing, because they said, we understand why he did it. And he was ringing me to say the cops had just come round and given him the footage of the incident and backed his story up. He'd been going through hell. He hadn't slept for a month. He hadn't been able to work for a month. We had a great conversation for 2 hours. Now, I would not have been on there. I would have been, you know, talking about some bullshit. Maybe the Beatles, you know, was John Lennon, you know, some useless fucking conversation that you can have on conspiracy sites. It means nothing, does nothing, is nothing. Is nothing. You can waste your life talking about things that are not going to affect you. But I'll tell you what does affect you, weather manipulation. That affects you. But if you can't talk about it, then why would you be on that platform? So therefore, I'm not going to be on that platform. I will be going on there to talk about, you know, I always have lots of things to talk about. But it won't be for, it won't be this weekend. I'll just say that. There you go. It will not be this weekend. Oh, there you go. What a good timing. Are you listening, or you can come in and talk? Emu Dance. What a wonderful person to pop in at the right time. But you just stay muted if you have to stay muted. It's all good. I'm just going to keep talking. And I can tell you now, I can keep talking.
Hello, Rick.
Oh, fantastic. How are you?
How are you?
Emu Dance. How's the life in the zone going? Everything good?
Life in the zone, yeah, not bad. No, hey. No real complaints, put it that way.
That's good. How's baby?
Baby's good. He's asleep for now. What we'll see. So if I disappear, that'll be why.
Did you go and look into, I was telling you about the tissue salts and things like that? I highly recommend.
No, not yet. I haven't done anything like that. I went and got that milk and the yogurt though.
Oh, awesome. And there was plenty there.
Loratin. Oh, yeah, well, I had to get put on. I didn't know you have to order it, so I ordered it. And, yeah, so I go get it every 2 weeks, which is good.
That's fantastic. That's Jim. Is it Jimmy's Farm or Jimmy's Milk? Or is it?
Yeah, Jimmy's Dairy Products.
Jimmy's Dairy or whatever. You know, he's only like 20 years of age.
Yeah, it's so brilliant. I think he's on social media, I saw it, so it's... He's doing all the right things.
Yep. Yep. And it's very important to try and source these people out. That's why I've been the girl in Taree, let's just say this. Between me and her, I can't – when she wants to catch up, I can't catch up. And when I contact her to say I can catch up, she can't catch up. So we'd starve to death if we were trying to start a –
All three of us are useless. Honestly, it's too hard with a child. So,
yeah, no, I got you. You wait till you have three of them. And wait till you have three of them.
I don't know how you guys do it, eh? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, I'll tell you how you do it. Both of you are doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's it. Well, my husband works away for half the month, so it's...
Oh, no. Let me just tell you now, when we moved up here, I was going to Sydney for 3 days a week.
Yeah.
So she did. That's why I put her up as an absolute role model as a mother. Sporting event. And the 3 days I was away, there was when they get a bit bigger and they have to do like ballet or Spanish dancing for the females, mainly being a bit sexist there, but and sports for a lot of them. And you've got to take him, or you know, you've got to. Honestly, you need friendship circles, and you need to have people that you know you trust that can take your kids to pick them up. And it's very important to establish, kind of friendship circles. You know, other parents that you can trust.
Because you can't do it on your own completely.
No.
You'd like to.
And the thing, this is the interesting thing though, when you have one, you think it's the toughest thing ever. And then you have two and it suddenly goes, oh, that was, having one was nothing. Have three and you're going to go, two, one. That's why I look at when someone's got one baby and I think they say they're having a tough time. Yeah, no.
You don't know nothing yet.
You know nothing yet. You wait till there's three of them and there's three that have to do three different things at three different times and, oh my God. And you know, you got one in nappies or two in nappies actually at that stage. This is the amazing thing. You look back on it with fond memories, even though you're stressed at the time. But, you just need to really enjoy your first child and the amazing amount of time that you're going to actually have to yourself compared to a second one.
That's true.
You're not even going to be able to go to the toilet. Even when he starts moving around, I don't know. A male's bad. Yeah, mummy.
He's very active. He's going to be a sports fanatic or something. I don't know, but
guaranteed. I can honestly, the frightening things I can remember, one of them, he's in his room killing aliens right now, at 21. When he was, I remember I came home one day and I come rushing, you know, just I was coming to have lunch and I came, the door was open, so I came through and I seen him. He was standing in the cot and I saw my ex was out the front. So I took him out of his cot and just put him down, went and did something. And I came back out and said, "Where is he?" And she said, "He's in his cot." And I said, "No, no." And he, the gate was slightly open. He'd come zooming out at, he would have only been like 16, crawling, you know, he could crawl. He couldn't walk and he could crawl really fast. He got out through an open gate, crossed the road out the front of our house, was heading down to where he knew there was swings. And I'm telling you, the stress that puts you through, and you suddenly realize that these things, these can move faster than you ever could think.
Oh, you really underestimate them. You think, we'll be fine.
Another time we were at the opera house. You're listening to Beethoven.
No matter what your age.
You're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
You're listening to Be Told 63, and I'm talking to Emu Dance from not far from me, within 30 minutes. Within 30 minutes from where I live. Fantastic. We're talking about children. Children, babies particularly. I'll tell you the most thing, and I'm not joking, I still, to right now, wake up in the middle of the night sometimes thinking about this. We went to the Opera House in the winner is Sydney, famous building. This is in 2007, I would guess. And this little fellow that took off from the scope, this is how, and he became the fast, this is the Premier that was born at 700 grams.
Oh, right.
721 grams. Can you believe it? He became the fastest little person on two legs ever, and four even worse. Anyway, we were at the Opera House and just walking around looking, because it's an amazing building. If you go to to Sydney, it's this absolutely amazing building. And we were up on the second level, just roaming around, and the fences, I'm not joking, were just basically a bar fence, so anyone little could just run straight through it. And he started running towards where the fence was on the second level. It went down about 30 or 40 feet straight down, and I grabbed him, thinking, you know, I wasn't panicking. And then I looked at what he would have run over. He would have been... nothing would have saved him from what, you know, was concrete below.
No, it's so tall. I've been in there. It's terrifying.
I just wake up in the middle of the night still thinking of what would have happened if he'd managed to get under that thing. Now they fenced it off properly. But even when you go for a walk, even Port Macquarie or around these places, and you can go walking past cliffs and stuff like that, there's no fences on them. They just assume that you're not going to let your child go running. Life is incredibly dangerous, I'll just say that, without fences. And honestly, you've got to have your wits about you as a parent all the time. Bloody Christ.
You can't underestimate how quick they are. They're just, especially these boys. I mean, I don't know what girls are like, but boys
The girls are more, like, my daughter's way more laid back. She was a completely different person than the boys. That she was so funny, but way more easygoing. Used to cry a lot and scream and carry on in the middle of the night when she was a baby, but that's Jesus being a woman, just practicing those skills. Yep.
What are you doing? What are you doing? What do you mean? Yes. What do you mean? What are you doing?
It's ingrained in a script.
Yeah.
It can't be helped.
Can't be helped, yeah. But now, now there she is. And I knew when she used to, like, she had this book she had to have read to her, and she actually knew the word. She couldn't speak any English, you know, or words, but she could imitate the this railroad toad book that she every night had to have read to her, and she'd recite, even though she couldn't speak properly, she'd somehow be able to kind of mouth the words. And I remember thinking, she's going to be a traveler because she's just obsessed with this little toad that travels around on a train going to different places with his friends. And now she is railroad toad. She everywhere, all through, you know, she managed, you know, all through Europe, England, you know, Scotland. She's been everywhere. She's such a traveler. Now she's doing, she's a doof into doofs, outdoor doof, you know, electronic dance music things. And she's just into that. And, you know, someone's knocking at my door. Why are we going to knock at my door? I just have to mute for a sec and I'll be back. Mm-hmm. So I'll speak to you in a sec. I'm just going to mute. Someone's knocked at my door. They might have my cat, I would say. Sorry, it was a girl with a pizza. Said, did I order pizza? And I said, well, I could have, but I didn't. And she got the wrong house. Thank God for that. I don't like people knocking at my door at this hour of the night. I'll go, I really don't like strangers.
That would have scared me.
It was suspicious. A really loud banging. Really loud banging. But anyway, yeah, no.
What we're talking about, a few things actually that I was going to talk about, because I feel like all I talk about is my child.
Move on.
Have you seen that, Carl, what's his name, Carl Stefanovic?
Yeah, I was just talking about, he's one of them. He's become this new, all of a sudden, mainstream media types have started to throw their, they've been told, start a podcast and start pushing. Yeah. And so he's now querying the vaccines.
My husband and I were talking about it, and he said he seems to think that they're, with all the other bullshit that they're going about, but they're trying to pull sort of all the boomers, quote unquote, into that kind of realm off the television, because the television's not impactful anymore. No one cares about it.
No, I keep posting on Facebook. I keep saying anytime I get bullshit from MSM, I keep saying, you're dying, you know you're dying, and you're trying your hardest to keep breathing, but you're dead, you're finished, your history. But so they're all jumping ship.
And it's just interesting how they've got him doing it, and obviously he's probably privy to the fact that TV is also dead, so he's probably, oh shit, I need to make a bit of money, I'm going to start podcasting. But I just thought that how he carried on about how he said, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have pushed the vaccine.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't want to hear mate.
This is the truth. So what's happening now, he says, opening beer, people are waking up en masse everywhere. And so what's going on at the moment, there's this massive amount of mega propaganda, it seems, making more noise, that it's damage control. And we're talking about the weather manipulation on steroids. There are people coming out attacking. I've never seen the like of on Facebook. Say you're on a say Port Macquarie's got this, or you know Port Macquarie or Tari Farmers Group or whatever, and someone's going, "What the fuck's going on above my head?" And they're watching, you know, all those, or they'll put a comment, this is geoengineering, or this is the attack. It's a swarm that comes on, and you'll see all these people, you know, oh, tinfoil hat. The same comments, it's always tinfoil hat, and the other one is meth cooker. The meth's cooking well tonight. And you look at the people saying it, and they'll say they have 20 friends or 5 friends, and these are bots. They're all bots.
Of course they are.
And so that's why I'm really...
Most people, I think, well, not most, but a lot more people, say, than 5 or 10 years ago, know that something is seriously not right, like, just in general. And I think
I know this to be a fact because I'm having face-to-face conversations on the train, the bus, in the shops I go to, you know, the service station. I'm having conspiracy offs with the guy that works in the Q service station. Every time I go in there, we have a battle to see who's got the latest one, because everyone, and, you know, this is the one, no one's questioning the amount of stuff that's happening in the sky. Everyone can see it. It's so obvious. But so all of a sudden you've got Carl Stefanovic, you've got, in England, it's James Dellingpole, who is saying there's nothing as outrageous that you could say to him that he will not agree. You know, space is fake. But he's got this really high-educated voice that doesn't work well with me when I'm talking about this level of stuff. It sounds like he's pretending to be into it just to get credibility. Mm. And they're pretending. That's what I mean. There's a truth frequency that you get of people's voices, that how you trust them.
Yeah, fully.
And the more...
It's fascinating. There's a lot of weird, interesting things happening that I obviously don't... I don't have enough time to know what's going on anymore, but from what I see...
You've got enough things to do at the moment, but... Trust me, you're going to have a lot more less things when you have another baby. It's you're going to have to realize how much time you've got. While he's asleep, you can look into stuff, or you just talk to people, and you get a feeling that, you know, that there's so much more open people now to stuff. I'm getting people coming up last night. I go to this office. I've been going there every fucking Friday for 24 years, possibly. More. And I've known the child of the director is now 30, about your age, say. And he's come up to me last night and he goes, oh, Rick, you'll probably enjoy this. He goes, I've just heard that they're doing an inquiry into the vaccines. There's a big court case. And I went, he knew that he could talk to me about it, but he knew that, you know, but out of the blue, he started wanting to talk about it, because he, you know, this whole business is a total green lefty agenda business. Yeah. 90% of the people, they're all vaccinated, 90% of them, maybe 95% of them. And now he knew that he could talk to me about it. And I thought that this is a sign people are definitely feeling more comfortable about talking about things that you normally get laughed at.
100%.
Yeah. So,
and it's really interesting that, like, you know, 5 or 10 years ago, I know people did call me crazy, and I imagine you got it too. But now all of a sudden we're probably a level of, you know, comfort for people in a way, which is nice.
Yeah, well, they think I can talk to you about, because the way he came up to me, he goes, look, and he did it very conspiratorially, like, to, you know, like the way he moved his head, like, I don't want other people to hear, but I just heard this inquiry.
Dirty little secret.
And I said to him that, there's not just one inquiry into the vaccine. There's probably about 1,000 inquiries into the vaccine. And I told him about the guy in New Zealand who's in court at the moment. And Tipperdean in New Zealand's been doing some excellent reportage on this. He's the guy that was working for the government doing stats of batch numbers and, you know, where they were sent. And he suddenly started noticing that this particular batch that was in Otago, I think it was, in the bottom of the South Island, 15 to 20% of them had died within weeks after getting their shot. And he started, then he looked into more, and he went to the media, and the conspiracy media, I mean, and they said, yeah, look at it. He got arrested. He's been... in court, the courts are closed now. They will not allow the public in there to support them. They're basically, it's just incredible. But that's not being reported on mainstream media. They can't report this kind of stuff. But no, we were talking about it.
It would cause absolute chaos. Like,
well, can you imagine finding out that you're now 40 to 60% more likely to have myocarditis? Myocarditis.
Yeah.
And now I noticed this.
But my he won't mind me telling you this, but my younger brother, he had heart issues after it. So he was having crazy pains in his chest, and they had to get, he had to go get a stress test. This was a few years ago now. He's fine, thankfully.
Yeah.
But, and he said when he was, when it had it done, and they said, oh, you're pretty, he's young and fit. So that was a good thing. But she said, oh, have you had your booster shot? And he said, no. And she goes, oh, you're going to go, are you, well, do you think you'll get it, sort of thing? He said, absolutely. No, no way. And she goes, oh, fair enough. Like,
yeah.
Closed chapter, you know? It's like, but how do we know that he hasn't got permanent damage? You don't know.
Oh, he probably, I don't like to say it, but two of my children definitely had it. And what,
shocking.
I was talking about, yeah. And one only just admitted that to me recently, which kind of really upset me, you know, that he would have done it. And he's like laughed about it, like, Dad, you know,
yes,
these things are, you know, and I'm like, I just went into this betrayal thing. My heart dropped when he said that. I was like, yeah, really?
That's what it is. It's like, it's complete heartbreak. You're just like, far out.
Mm.
But my mum said, she goes, oh, I've never felt the same. I've got so many stories. I've got lots of stories of different people. And
well, I'll tell you when I had I made a phone call, because I've decided now, rather than waste my time arguing or going onto other platforms where a random stranger could just come in and I'll start distracting me or talking about something that's not relevant. I made a call to an old friend of mine who lives in near Grafton, inland, or near Byron, inland of Byron. And he'd said to me he'd had cancer and all this and that, and he said that he was forced to take the shot because he couldn't visit his daughter across the border while he was in Queensland. So he went and took two of them. And he got cancer, prostate cancer. He had cancer of the bladder just afterwards. And he said to me, he was telling me about the amount of his friends that died after they had it. You know, four or five people he knew that died of heart attacks or clots.
Strokes too.
Strokes, and they put it down as strokes and natural things. Because he's 65, I guess, you know, you can get away with it a bit more, but and say, oh, that's natural. But nah, he said that they'd only died just after their booster shot. You know?
Yes, I know of a guy that, a woman I worked with at the time, she sort of had to take a day off to go to a funeral, and I sort of said, oh, you know, you're all right. Oh, yeah, my friend's son died.
How many times do you hear people say, I've just been to a funeral now?
Yeah, but this boy was 17 and he'd gotten his booster, I think, 2 days before and then didn't wake up.
Yeah, that happened in Lawrence, right next to that cafe where you bought the milk.
Yeah.
There's a couple of gay guys that have a business called the Propagation Station, which is it's a business right next door to that cafe. And the girl, Amy, that runs that cafe or owns it with her boyfriend, I walked in there to get a coffee and she said, oh, it was really sad. We've just been to the funeral. I went, what funeral? And she said, the guy next door, he's 30 something or other. And he didn't wake up. I said, what happened to him? And she goes, he went to bed and he didn't wake up. And I just shook my head and was going, what? And she said, oh, apparently it happens. Apparently it happens. And I said, no, it doesn't just happen, or it didn't till. And she's not 100% as awake as she might think she is. Because she had cancer as well in 2021 or 2022 and got better, but she went natural and did all these natural things, got a naturopath and lost all her hair, fell out, and she did do the chemo, but she's like the owners where you bought the milk from. She, you know, was kind of justified. It was like, apparently it happens. And I went, well, I said, no, He went to sleep and he's 34 and didn't wake up. That's not normal. And apparently there's no inquiry into it. No inquiry. Just, you know, they just said, oh, he must have had a issue. Well, he got an issue. So I've got so many stories. Anyone that, like, the op shop down the bottom of the hill where I bought the amazing painting, the guy, the president of the volunteers that run the place, is 95 volunteer old people that run this place. He said to me, I just got out of hospital, and I went, what happened? And he goes, I had my booster shot. And then I got crook as, and he goes, oh, I thought I was going to die, and I was in the hospital for 6 weeks. And I said, do you think it was the booster shot? And he goes, well, you're listening to Be Told 63. Back after the break.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Be Told with Emu Dance and Rick on Be Told 63. We're talking about the most prescient, important thing that people need to be talking about right now, vaccine damage. Yeah, so I'll just finish the story. He said he took his booster shot, hospitalized for 6 weeks on almost life support. And he said, yeah, well, it did happen just afterwards, but he goes, I don't know, you know. And I'm like, I look at these people with my eyes open, with my hands open in front of them going, can you see what might have caused this? Nah. They don't want to know. They do not want to think this has happened to them deliberately, but it has.
It must be a really terrifying thing to think about.
Well, if you've got any stories, talk about them, because every time you bring one up, I've got another one. I guarantee I can.
That's terrible. It sucks that it's like that. But there was another girl at that said retailer that I used to work at before they wouldn't let me come to work. So by that point, I think I'd been locked out, so I wasn't allowed to go to work. So I was just having a gay old time, just having a really lovely summer. But I was talking to one of the girls who was still working. Hey?
And this is in Sydney?
This was back in Sydney, yeah, on the Northern Beaches. I was talking to one of the girls at one of the sort of stores nearby, and she said, oh, such and such died, and I didn't know this person, and apparently she was mid-20s and just randomly had a brain aneurysm and dropped dead. And I said, and I didn't say it, but the girl knew because she knew I wasn't at work, so she knew my stance, but she was very, like, understanding, but I think she kind of was half in, half out with it all. And I said, it's horrible.
How long before COVID came out did you kind of wake up to go, to have this kind of...
I reckon it was about 3 weeks. As in, like, that coronavirus was rubbish. Is that what you mean?
Yeah,
it took me about 3 weeks. And then, I don't know what clicked. I don't know what it was. I think my eyes were just open and I was like, this is all dumb. This makes no sense. And then
I'll tell you a worst story. A very experienced, what do you call it? What's one of the female doctors, the female nurses that have baby, help you have a baby?
Midwife.
Yeah, from Queensland, who'd been working in the industry for like 40 years. She was saying to someone that I knew that she resigned her position because she was getting stillbirths in Queensland, like she in the Northern Rivers, that she had never seen the like of. And constant stillbirths and whatever. And she actually left her job because she didn't want, she thought she's going to get prosecuted next time that one of these women come in to have their baby. And it, yeah. Well, it was going on. And I've been hearing this story since 2020. 2021 rather, when it, late, it was midway through 2020 when the vaccine first came out, that all of a sudden there was a stillbirth, there was this nasty things going on. And, you know, I was just like, I knew this was bad. And I just said to my ex, I said, like, these kids are not to be whatever. And then I went through the whole thing, which we've discussed before, that the whole shaming that the kids got at school. Oh, you're too scared. You know, I've had and everything, you know, and all of a sudden the kids couldn't go to the disco or they couldn't go to that because they weren't vaccinated. And they made sure that this shaming thing, forced so many kids to roll their sleeves up or ask mum to go and take me in and get me vaccinated, which is, you know, in my case, that's what he kind of said. Because she was, 100% that, you know, what would, anything your father says is completely mad. You know, and he just wants to be different, but we can't risk that because we want to be, you know, don't want to kill grandma type of thing.
Yeah, it's such a hard thing.
Yeah, well, as I said, you know, the brutality of what we went through, the fact that we can still remain sane and talk about it without, like, you know, really, if we were back in 1940 and this happened, back when your brain was still functioning a lot better, you'd be having a nervous breakdown right now, this realizing how much your own families and friends and everything just rejected you as a complete lunatic. Father, a great example, not that I cared. I've always done the opposite of whatever he says, and that's, well, again, why I warn people about making your kids conspiracy theorists, because or telling them stuff, because they will rebel against usually the father. Whatever he says, they'll just go with the mother's view, because, you know, the mother's thought. I don't know why, but it's the way it has happened. But every story you can bring up, I'll bring up another one. And even, like, I was thinking about this yesterday, Thursday, I arrived at Central from I got the bus down, you know, went through Taree again. I know Taree way better because I'm going through it in slow motion on the bus every Thursdays now, seeing some great cafes and little second-hand shops I've spotted that I must go down and visit.
Hang on, Rick, baby's crying. I'll be back soon.
Oh, good. I'll just keep talking because I've got about 8 billion things to talk about. No worries. You go and do what you got to do. But yeah, and I, what was I talking about? Going through Taree, doing it on the bus. Oh, I got into the Central Station, and there was all of a sudden I was leaning against something, and I realized it was a new set up defibrillators that they've got along one on each one. Did these exist before? Why are they there now? Why do they need defibrillators? What are they, you know, trying to stop a mass amount of heart attacks happening or death? Because they don't want people waking up and freaking out that they've been done over by those vaccines in 2021, 2022, 2023, right till now. And every time I cross the road in Asheville, when I get off the train, there's another bigger sign on the chemist across the road from the station with come and get your vaccine, aerosolized ones now, aerosolized vaccines. They don't even need to put a needle in the kid's arm. They squirt it up their nose. That's a fact, Jack. Now, I'll go into my voluminous notes, and I'm not exaggerating here. I talked about the scattering the ashes. That was absolutely fantastic. There's nothing more cathartic if you've lost somebody and they've passed away and they've been haven't been buried, to take their ashes to a place that they wanted to get scattered, whatever. It just is, it's nothing like a funeral. It's sad, and it's not sad. It's more, it's an emotional thing, very emotional. And we went through this with my mother 5 years after she passed away. And I'm telling her that I talked about this? Have I talked about this before? But we all turned up at the right time. My brother, my sister, my family, all of us. My aunties, one of the cousins that should have been there wasn't there. There wasn't everyone that was, it was everyone that should be there was there, minus one sister. And we took her to this beautiful extinct volcano where I'm from in New Zealand. And we decided we'll do it this afternoon, because in New Zealand, with natural weather patterns, you have to be able to study the clouds and go, it's going to pour with rain. I can see the rain coming over. And New Zealanders are really good, or used to be at predicting the weather when it was going to rain. And one of my aunties said, I think it's going to be all right. So we drove over there, and it suddenly looked like it was going to rain. And then all of a sudden, this massive rainbow appeared. And I don't know if I've mentioned this. My mother was always on about rainbows. And she said she always wanted to go over the rainbow. You know, that song, Wizard of Oz, etc. And as soon as I saw the rainbow, I mean, all of us just went, it's time to do it. And we all walked around this beautiful old, well, I'll say old, volcano, ex-volcano, and found a part of the beach that was, we thought we should do it, and we went down and started scattering the ashes. And as we started doing it, orcas started leaping out of the water. I am not exaggerating. And all of a sudden, what they were doing, they were chasing after stingrays, which they eat. And all the stingrays had taken off to try and get away from the orcas. And they were along the shoreline where we were scattering the ashes, flapping their arms, waving as if they were saying goodbye. And we were just, all of us, and there was about, you know, 10, 12 of us, we were just going, oh my God, how could that be so amazing? And we did it. And anyway, to top it off, after we got the photos, we took a whole lot of digital photos. I bought one of the first digital cameras. Every photo that I took as we were walking to the spot, there was a blue orb light in between her two sisters. I am not joking. I am not joking. And it was just like she was there. Oh. It was unbelievable. Even my brother, who's complete now, he's, you know, militant atheist, and he had to go, well, it's a bit strange. But I'm telling you, there was a blue light orb in every photo, just floating in between the two sisters. Unbelievable. That's why when I talked about the painting, the sun waving to me as I pulled in, there, I'm telling you, there's truth is bigger. Truth is bigger. Real things, strange phenomena, really can happen. And I'm 100% believer in all of it, be told. 100%. But my God, when people say dismiss these orbs of light, when I saw those photos, I went, that's just not, that is not random. That is a thing. That is so amazing. A very amazing conversation. Hello. Actually, on the back. Oh, you're back. Fantastic. I just said some amazing stuff, but I won't repeat myself. You have to listen to back tomorrow or whenever Joel puts it out. Amazing stuff. But, you know, I will clip back and say what I noticed again, that they were put more defibrillators at Central Station.
And yeah, they have. They did that on the northern beaches. They started putting them everywhere, like outside the pub, everywhere. It was crazy.
Yeah, they got them in my gym, outside the butcher. When I go down, if I go to do the bay walk, if I walk past any of the kids' sporting grounds, there's defibrillators on the kids' sporting grounds, children's sporting grounds I'm talking about. What are they? What is this damage control? This is obviously they don't want to say that people are dying left, right, and center. They'd rather say, oh, he had an incident and he got a bit worked up and his heart went a bit funny, so we had to put the defibrillator on.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's so bad. Really? I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing. It's shocking.
No. You got to laugh. You got to laugh. You know what it is? It's like it's the reaction that you get when you – what do? You can only laugh about it.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not like those. This is the difference, though. When on these psychological operations where they have false shootings and they have the daughter or the father of a child that's been shot come up and start laughing before they start talking, that
is
100% fake.
So fake.
Because you couldn't – if something had happened to your child, you'd have a 1,000-yard death stare on for at least 5 to 10 years after that event. And you couldn't even talk about it with the media like this.
Oh, yeah. He was there and he was so happy and, you know, he got shot.
There's a thousand of those stories out there. But we're not talking about that.
Got me thinking actually about, I tell you what wasn't fake. I think that Lindy Chamberlain, the dingo took my baby story. I believe her.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. They cashed in. They never backed their stories down. And I would say that that wasn't, you know, it was like one of those distraction stories. It was a real story.
But they I think it happened.
I'll tell you
what happened. But I think there was
the time they were hiding.
Something happened. But it wasn't the parents. I think it was something to do with, I don't know, something after the fact, but I don't think they had anything to do with it.
That's an interesting conversation because they made the movie, they called it Evil Angels with that, you know, they had, what's his name, Kiwi, the guy that's always in dodgy movies, though, to be honest, Sam Neill. Playing the husband and what's her name? Extraordinarily dodgy actress, American actress, playing Lindy Chamberlain. You know, how they would have picked her to be play Lindy Chamberlain is beyond me. What's her name?
I'd forget. But out of all the people you could pick.
A dingo ate my baby. A dingo ate my baby. Really bad accent. But yeah. It's
terrible.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, at the same time as that was going on, Australia signed this thing called the it was some agreement that all shipping was going to be offshore. They were getting rid of our shipping. It was Bob Hawke doing that. And so that story became a distraction story that took over the media. Right. And whenever you get a – so it could be a real death or a real murder story or whatever, or it could be fake, but it will take over the media. And we had the mushroom one recently. That was distracting people from truth.
The thing is, I'm kind of leaning in towards your – well, I mean, this is what I gather from how you think, is that real crazy shit happens. Like not everything is fake.
No, it doesn't. But compound on that story and just have it saturate
and
the
they
media.
Use it. Totally. Yeah. Yep. And all sorts of crazy stuff then comes out of it for sure. But it's kind of like people saying that that all the shark attacks here are fake. It's
you dismiss them straight away because we've had multiple ones here. And
people get banged by sharks. It's just what happens. Like it's not fake.
If you dress up as in black. As an upside down or a seal with legs dangling off the top of it, and at about 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. and then do the same thing in the evening, you're going to get bitten by a shark possibly because they just come up and take a nip. And a bull shark, when it takes a nip or a great white, it actually will rip your leg off and you bleed to death most of the time. And shark attacks are a real problem here, and that's another reason why. Another thing that as soon as you brought that up, that keeps me off that show again, that fakeologist.
Oh, that's not what I'm meaning to do.
No, but it does again because there's people over there that will suggest that the sharks are in whales, etc., don't exist or whatever. But it's just wasting your time, and it's totally just it's gaslighting you, and that's what it is, gaslighting.
Back to the dingo took my baby thing. It's like we did a lot of travel in the country as kids, like all sort. We went everywhere, holidays, camping holidays, everywhere. And I've seen how those dogs act, and they are terrifying.
Oh, have
and they're
you
cunning,
been
and they can get into your tents. Terrifying. Yeah. And I just do not doubt for a second that a dog is capable of taking a child. Happens on Fraser Island all the time.
Well, Fraser Island just had a fatality not long ago, actually, with because when you get a pack of dogs, and I'm talking about your domesticated dogs, and I've seen it on many occasions. You get, say you decide to hire a place and, you know, wherever, and a farm stay, and everyone turns up and they bring their dogs. You know, you're listening to Be Told 63.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Thank you, Sarah. There was Sarah doing that bumper. Beetle 63, and we're talking about dogs. Are dogs real? And dingoes. But yeah, the dingo is a wild dog. It is basically a purebred wild dog. That is, they are. Have you ever met one? their eyes glow. They're an amazing creature. I've met people who have actually had a semi-tame one, and
pets,
these
things. Yeah, me too.
They're like a small wolf, basically, or like a, you know, and wolves are real. I'll just tell you now. But I seen a group of friends bring their dogs to. We were in Wollumbuy, in a farm.
Oh,
stay.
Yeah, beautiful spot. Yeah.
Oh, I love Wollumbuy. It's very, very. There's a good vibe there. Really good vibe.
Good pub.
Anyway. Great pub, yeah, and Dr. Jude's Jungle Juice. That's this Wollumbuy
brew.
Oh, yeah. They sell it there. I know lots of crazy, crazy horsewomen, wild women from Wollumbuy. I'll just say that without glossing. I'll just gloss over that one. But anyway, four or five of these people took their dogs. Brought their dogs. We were staying overnight, and me and my friend, we'd organise a DJ, and we were going to cook breakfast the next day, and everyone paid $30 or $50 each or whatever. Fantastic night. But anyway, these dogs, none of them met each other before, but they all just straight away turned into this pack and went, they just took off. And they just went, anything in that their vicinity that they decided to kill, they would have killed. Because they just turn, they lose that, a domesticated part, and they turn immediately back into this pack, which is where they come from, whereas a strong one will be the leader, and they'll work that real fast, who's the dominant one, and they just take off. Now, dingoes have never been domesticated. These things will kill. If they're hungry, and there's something that they will kill. no problem whatsoever. Or I've been bitten by a dog before on the set of The Matrix, right in the foot, I just turned up and I saw this dog. It was a dog tied to a, and I thought someone had dumped this dog. This is in Ultimo, in this kind of big set. They built a big train set of a train scene in a tunnel in Ultimo. And I'd pulled up to do the work. I was there for the night. And I didn't realize two of the art department had left their dog, the blue heeler, which I do not, I hate blue heelers to this day.
Yeah, they're pretty crappy.
Ugly.
Mm.
Yeah, grumpy dog. Anyway, it was chained to a post. And I went over and I thought, someone's dumped this dog. It was there by itself. And it had a bowl of water near it. And I thought, I'll just push it, the bowl near the water. Near the dog, and this dog must have sensed and went primeval back to its original thing. This guy has taken my water away from me. And it just let, it just, it, had, it was on a chain, but it had enough chain to get to my foot. And it bit me in the, on the front of my, shin. And blood filled, my whole boot filled up with blood immediately. Oh. Like it took a real two teeth right into my front of my, kind of above the foot. I had to go to hospital, blah, blah, blah. Got another vaccine. What's that vaccine they give you? Tetanus.
Oh, tetanus.
That fucks you up guaranteed.
Oh, that's a joke of a needle. That's, oh, if you actually knew what tetanus was, no one even knows what tetanus is. No, I think it's from rust.
It's a really nasty one.
It's and it's not from one. Rust.
No. Or dead horse bones or whatever they come up with.
No. It's, oh, gosh.
But I totally believe that a dingo will attack and kill if it can, or any dog if it's got its opportunity. If it thinks you are food and it's going to die, the domesticated partners leaves them.
Mm. Well, there is always a tiny bit of wild animal in the animal. That's what I think anyway.
Well, did you know a pig? You know the pigs that we eat if we eat bacon. Big fat pink things. If you let one go into the bush within 3 months, it's got tusks and fur all over it. It completely it devolves and back into its wild form. That's a domesticated pig will turn back into a feral pig within, I think, 2 months of being in the wild or less. Mm.
They're scary things too. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, that's the only thing in New Zealand we've got to be scared of, and the wild pig. I've never encountered one. They're apparently everywhere. Up here, they're everywhere, and you can go hunting them, which is why when someone says, oh, you're going to starve to death in this country, I said, no. You just need to go into the country and just shoot a wild pig and make sure you treat the meat properly because it's full of worms and stuff, but you can do that and you're never going to starve. Or eat kangaroos or koalas.
Kangaroos, yeah.
Correct. Kangaroos are good meat. Good meat. I'm not going to go.
It is, when it's cooked right, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very high protein.
And if
you've got the pet.
Low fat,
high protein. Highly recommended. But yeah, that's interesting. You know, I haven't really looked into the, obviously I knew it was a distraction story. Like in New Zealand, we had, when I was growing up, when I was 1981, I was totally into conspiracies and we had this Rainbow Warrior bombing of a ship. And by the French, allegedly, or was the French who did it? Was it Wellington or Auckland? That I remember saying to someone, this story is just—it's just everywhere. It's nonstop. What's it hiding? I kind of had an instinct that it's hiding stuff. And so, what they do if there's a big, important thing that the government want to do or bring in, they'll find a story, create a story, hype a story and make it all you hear about. So that's all you're going to see in the media. And the mushroom one was a classic one about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
The mushroom poisoning. Yep. That was a distraction story to hide something that the government was up to.
Oh, no doubt.
I have no doubt. I got zero doubt. Now, whether it happened, I don't know. But it became the major story. There's also one about some random politician type that raped a chick or had sex with somebody that was literally on the front page of the paper for a year, about a year ago.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
That was a distraction story. And Rainbow Warrior was one. Definitely the one that we're talking about before, the Dingo Ate My Baby, that was a distraction story. It dominated, but at the same time, Bob Hawke signed off on an incredibly unpopular thing. I forget what it's called, but he sold off all our shipping to foreign entities. which is another reason why we don't have an our own kind of fed into the next thing where they got rid of all of our oil refineries. And we can talk about the oil refinery
this,
thing.
This country has become such a disgrace. It's really sad. It's really, really sad.
In 1955 or so, Australia was not only providing the wool for the world, New Zealand as well, the sheep for the world, if they wanted sheep, the cow and the milk they could have provided for the world, the fertilizer for the world, literally the amount of, you know, farms, agriculture and everything. It was just incredible. If someone had have said, and I've got books in here in my library that were predicting this from the 60s, that we're being taken over and that we're going to be, this is going to happen. It happened, and they did it, and they used distraction stories to get away with it all. Whether they really happened or whether they were made up or whether they're real, it doesn't matter. It had its effect. And, let's say Port Macquarie, we use as an example. The potatoes grow because the soil is red and really full of iron. It's bright red, the soil here in Port Macquarie. We had potatoes and all the other onions or whatever. The whole country could have been fed out of Port Macquarie from the amount of orchards here. Now, every one of those orchards is gone, and it's an over 55's retirement area on top of it, on beautiful red soil agricultural ground. And I did a job last year for this lady, another Kiwi ex-nurse, and she said she's in Wauchope, in a semi kind of regional part of Wauchope. She's got huge amounts of land that's all rocky and it's not farmable unless you do a whole lot of work. She could have had housing developments built on her property, but the council said, no, we don't want it. We're not interested. They'd rather take over the farms and orchards in the area and put the all these new housing developments on there. And she knew, we were talking about this and having the same conversation me and you were having, that it was deliberate, that why would you destroy a beautiful farmland when you've got all this rocky, unfertile bush everywhere that you can build houses on, no problem. Nah, it's deliberately done. And it's feeding into this, what we're going to go through, guaranteed. We'll be in food rationing by the end of the year.
Looking good.
So where are you in Taree, roughly? Not exactly, but where are you? Are you closer to?
I'm actually we're closer to Creepinop.
Okay, yeah, right. Yep. So you're out. You're out of the danger.
Like in this, right. I went there this morning, and my advice is to go at 9 o'clock. Before all the interesting characters come out.
Yeah. And they're there. Hey, I have to tell you this amazing story, but before we go or whatever, on Monday I was lying in my bed, you know, not going to work, being lazy, at 11 o'clock in the morning, and I heard this voice go, "Hey, anyone home?" And I said, "Yeah, yeah." And he said, "I was coming to check you meet a man." And I went, "Oh, cool." You know, and because I haven't got a smart meter and I'm not.
Oh, I've got a story about those. They're evil.
They are evil. I guarantee you now they're evil. Anyway, I said, "Yeah, cool, man. Just go around the back." And I thought, I'll go and say hello. And so I walked around the back. Anyway, he came out of underneath my house and I looked at him. I said, he looked, best description would be Jake the Muss from Once Were Warriors. With a short, no front teeth, short hair, tough looking guy. And I said, "Are you Kiwi?" And he goes, "No, man, I'm Koori." And I said, "Oh, fantastic. Oh. Cool, man." And anyway, came out. We had this face to face conversation. This guy just looked like, I looked at him like I would not mess with this guy at all. But as soon as he said that, I said, "Oh, it's cool." And we started talking. And He's telling me about his childhood. He grew up in Walker, which is about four hours from here. You know, his mother was drunk, went into the hospital, had him, and just took off, never came back.
Oh.
And he said, my grandmother raised me. I was on a mission in Walker. He said, I was beaten. She was aggressive. She was she beat me and I don't know how we just got into this conversation, but we were in this face to face, real conversation about stuff. Cause I was talking about how come there's no Aboriginals around Port Macquarie, cause I said, you never meet them, I hardly even have conversations with what I would call an Aboriginal. And he had been through hell growing up, but he said he took off and ran away when he was, as soon as he could. And he has really bad, his uncle, he got beaten by his uncles, his grandmother, a terrible upbringing. But he kind of had this thing that he understood why they were like that. And they had this repeat cycle hatred thing going on. And I said to him, I started telling him this about this and this and this. And it was just this fantastic, for about an hour and a half, face to face. And he had broken the cycle because I was telling him about my father's, his real mother put five of them in orphanages. And luckily my father was adopted. The other four weren't, and they got abused and suicides, blah, 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 blah. And my ex's mother had put her three daughters in the wards of the state, and she was adopted by someone. They broke the cycle. She broke the cycle, but the other two didn't, and we are institutionalized and, horrible stories. But I said, the secret is, man, I said, you broke the cycle, and I said, because he married an English girl, so he's got two children. Because he said, I got an 18, a 19 and a 21-year-old. And I said, I've got an 18 and a 21-year-old too. And, my daughter's 24, but she's over in New Zealand. But my point and the whole thing about the conversation was he didn't want anything to do with the anger that he should have. He just said, I don't want nothing to do with it. And he goes, I don't like going to Taree and I don't like going to Kempsey. He said the anger from his other, same blooded friends and family. Yeah. And he said that they call him a coconut, which means that you're brown on the outside, white on the inside. What? And he said,
this is the thing, Rick, that, this bloke's out here trying to, do well in his life, and then he gets called names and probably ridiculed for doing that.
By his own as a tribe. And this is the weirdest thing, though. After he left, I rang up another friend. I said, man, I've had the best conversation I've had for years with this guy because we're talking about breaking the cycle, because that's what you got to do. Once you break the cycle, you won't repeat it, and you're not going to be part of this hatred about, he said, I don't blame, because his daughter is white with blonde hair. His son is dark with son, looks just like him. So he's got two polar, so he can't be racist because he's got a white child. He's got a, because I'm explaining that that's why I feel. It's like, I don't know who my great-grandfather or my grandfather was, because they'll never find out, because my dad was adopted. And my children's they'll never know who their grandfather was ever, because the mother had no, there's no record of the father. So we could be, we could be part this, part that. We could be Jewish, we could be this. So I've got no problem with anyone, because I could be that person. I could be that race, or I could be that, come from that stock. And that's the way you got to be this person. But anyway, to blow me down, I said to my son, I said, I was talking to this amazing guy. He said, what's he look like? And I said, I described him. So not only is his son's the same name as my son, but they're really good friends.
Oh.
And they're born the same week, basically. So me and him have this connection, brothers. But this is this thing about stars. I do believe that when you suddenly bump into someone and you everything gets on, you get on with them. Because he had a son the same time as I did, and his daughter was born the same time as my other son. Yeah, she's white, his curry, you know, dark skin. His son, who's my son's age and a good friend of his, is at university studying psychology. And his daughter is like, very much, I have to say it quietly, like my son, who's the same age as his son, white, just like me, just know what he wants to do, just whatever. But we don't care because they're good people, they're good kids. And and we're not hating, you know, someone that came over and did something 200 years ago or whatever, or blaming anybody. And it's just when you meet these people and they're out there, but you've got to be – this is the thing about being online and talking and spending your life online. You're never going to meet real people other than when you get this eye-to-eye contact and you're having a conversation and you're in the zone and you're right next to somebody, that's when you suddenly go, this is real. And you have this – what do you call it? It's, you know, a meeting of the minds, I guess. It can happen online, yeah. I mean, I've never met you, but you're listening to Be Told 63.
Truth Meets is supported by ways and donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the support link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the support link.
You're listening to, hang on, I've only got the Rick and Rollo script here. Let's just have a look. Be Told, episode number 63 on April 2026. Thank you very much. I've got to go now. Bye. Got to head off. Go to the lab. Go to the labby. Bye.
Thank you, Ken. What a great bumper you are. Hey, I'm telling you, you've got to listen, do yourself a favor. You've got to, he's on twice a day now. I don't know how. I forget his name. He's on two-way FM. Ken, his name isn't Ken, but he is, I'm telling you, every time I listen to him, I'm almost in stitches listening to his,
and you're listening to 2Y FM Rock and Roll Show.
I started doing. I'm telling you, there's a real Ken on 2Y FM. Anyway,
2Y FM. I'm going to find him.
It's 103.9. I'm telling you, he's not calling himself Ken. That's the one that we've got, but. Anyway, so three things I was saying last week. I was running down the Greg Carlwood show and David Icke. Well, they redeemed themselves within 1 week. The guy that did the germ warfare show, he interviewed a guy who's just a complete guaranteed government in place shill, something Lee that does the chemtrail bullshit. So I was completely made to feel like an idiot afterwards. Now, also, I was on about people that have got therapy dogs. What was sitting next to me on the train all the way up here, apart from some very funny stories I've got about autistic adults that were sitting in front of me and talking, but I had a guy that had his little therapy dog, but he wasn't an official therapy dog. But he was so cute, and they told him he couldn't bring it on the train. But I do believe you can, if you need a dog, you can actually bring it on a train.
Yeah, you should be allowed to.
It was like a toy poodle, but he was really old, and he was sitting there looking at me. And this guy was like fussing over him, and he was cleaning the dog's ears and doing like really looking after this dog. They were heading up to casino, and I had to say to myself, I shouldn't be mean about people with therapy dogs because they do help people and they are good. But I just feel sorry for a lot of them because I think there's a lot of people with therapy dogs are just doing it for sympathy and they just want to look like they've got something wrong with them, and they got nothing wrong with them compared to what I could say. I've got, I need a therapy dog. I should have a therapy dog. Listen to any of the be told. I'm definitely completely mad. But anyway, but yeah, no, anything you can, while the baby's asleep, get anything out of your head that you may regret not talking
about. I'm trying to think of it. What else did I think? Oh, actually, I think it wasn't the last Be Told, maybe the one before. That was a cracker of a show. I forget what number it was. Were we going with that?
60. Oh, you were talking about Be Told, one of the something I was raving on about, possibly.
Oh, the whole Which I episode, do. I was like, that's so good. I forget what it was. Oh, no, EGI. That's what I've been thinking about recently, because I remembered something. A teacher in my high school back on the Northern Beaches, I forget how it came up, but he said to us, a few of us in the class, I don't know how it came up in the class, but he said, oh, Nicole Kidman is a hermaphrodite. This was years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, well, I was in high school. Fiona, I graduated.
Barnett. Fiona
yeah,
Barnett.
Like, that's what, that's what triggered me to think about it. And everyone's going, oh, yeah, no. And he said, no, she's a hermaphrodite. Like, they knew someone that lived in her town or whatever. And it never clicked until all of, you know, once you discover all that.
Lady Gaga apparently brags about it, that she's one as well.
Well, she does look like it.
I've got the. You must pop past for a coffee if you're coming past. I've got this book on taken by this really, really dodgy fucking photographer. I forget his name, but he is up to no good. And I found it in Balmain on one of those free library things that you get outside houses.
Oh, yeah.
It's a photography book by, I forget it, this guy is super dodgy. But anyway, it's basically just photos of Lady Gaga. And she's such a strange character. She's got an amazing voice. Nikki Kidman, is the you know, Fiona Barnett's always on about her not being hermaphrodite.
But I just thought it was interesting that years ago, like someone had told me that, you know, a teacher had said that to me, and then, you know, fast forward however many years later, you discover that there are a lot of them floating around.
Yeah, well, we had one as a post person, and I remember everyone used to, when I'm talking about hermaphrodite, I'm literally talking about a female that you could not tell if it was male or female, and she was our post person back in New Zealand. And because, you know, birth, the complex thing of a baby being when the sperm goes into the egg and it separates and it forms these things, there's drugs out there that were definitely fucking around with the people's reproductive things back in the day. There's documentaries about it, especially the Canadian one. It was a fact that there were certain pills that women were given, like particularly for morning sickness, that were causing basically babies that were born that they were female, but they thought they were male. In their head, they thought male, but they were female. I forget what it's called. There's actually a documentary out there about this.
Yeah, but I think that it's intersex.
It can happen. Intersex.
It's definitely a condition. I think it's not as common as maybe everyone thinks it is nowadays.
Well, nowadays it could be more common because of, like, everything you've got. If your baby is using a dummy, for instance, right, and it's not made of real rubber, it's got, you know, it's actually plastic, which a lot of them are, it's going to affect its endocrine system, guaranteed. And my son had it. Oh, I just saw a shooting star. There you go, over Port Macquarie.
Oh, lovely.
Wish upon a star, lots of money. I need lots of money. Lots of money. But it's the complex mechanics of the ovary splitting and the right things and the right hormones going to the right part of the brain is incredibly special. But if you've got plastics in your diet and, you know, they're having plastics, you know, in their food, their baby formula, which they encourage mothers to use rather than breast milk, or you're wearing plastic lycra and doing, you know, your what's it called? Active wear, which I love.
Oh, God.
So that. I can't believe, can we talk about this for a second? And pretty, I'll tell you, the greatest person to talk about this is that Verilicious, expert at women's fashion and what's up to no good. I'm walking through the city and I'm watching women walking around, which with figure hugging, sometimes they shouldn't, most of the time they shouldn't be wearing figure hugging gear.
Yes.
And you're going, it's like you're just showing me your bum and your, you know, reproductive organs, and you've got your, they're just walking around the city, a lot of Asian women particularly, wearing active, it's kind of like bum enhancing tight lycra that lifts and separates. You know, what's that woman's, what's that company's name that does it? There's a female name. And I'm going, this is just like obscene. Like, you know, back in the day, this is like what, you know, men ballerinas running around with their enhanced crotch things that they, whatever they have. The women are wearing this now. And the, I tell you, honestly, Emu Dance, I'm going to go back to call Emu Plains, which is a train station. Joel know that one. I went into Ashfield Mall about a month ago, and there was a guy and his girlfriend walking around, and she had what looked like her dress was like lifted. It was like a ballerina's dress, like lift, but lifted up at the back, and it was, she had a G-string on with her bum completely showing. This is obviously a fashion they're trying to bring in. And I'm telling you, it is not obscene. It's just like, what are you doing? It's like, it's some kind of, it looks like something you'd wear if you were trying to mate and have, get pregnant. It's like the dress flicks up. Oh.
It's more and more revealing, and everything's so tight.
Tight. It's like vagina. When I do the bay walk, when I'm talking to my friends, like, I always say, here comes another one. You've got two types of chicks. There's the clones of the Armenian, what's the name, the black hair and the big boobs.
The Kadesh.
And the big ass. Kardashians. Yeah, Kadesh. They got them. And then these blonde, they're usually Italian or, you know, Middle Eastern types that have bleached their hair blonde. They got duck lips. Their tits are up. They got they're wearing this gear that's emphasizing every part of their anatomy. And they're doing the bay walk, you know, striding around. And I'm like as a, you know, I've spent time in many years in gyms. I taught aerobic, like I took aerobics classes for fuck's sake. I've seen them back in the day where you have those stupid headbands on and lycra. This is at a different level now. It's exposing every part of the anatomy, lifting and separating and showing you. And I'm like, as a, you know, normal male, but, you know, a fading old one, I'm like, how can you wear that? What would make you want to wear that?
I don't know how it's comfortable.
Well, it can't be comfortable. You're a female. Would you wear it?
No, I wouldn't, and because it would be... it would be tight. Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Each to their own. Now, what it's doing is like I guess it's coming from TikTok and Instagram.
Yes.
What Kim's wearing or what her sisters are wearing. And I'm like, because if you've ever seen a picture of what Kim Kardashian actually looks like say next to someone like, it's really hard to find a role model here because without saying they're a transgender of some form, say a normal female, like Margot Robbie, I would say is, well, she gets a body out in a lot of things. I would say she's female. She's got a normal kind of, well, not normal, but she's got a good body. When you see Kim Kardashian, she's got a short, stumpy, huge bum, huge boobs. She looks like those ancient symbols you'd see made of rock. They reckon are ancient feminine symbols. But when they take the photos of her, they take it from lower or upper. Like you're not actually seeing her actual, what she actually really looks like.
No, when she's unposed, it looks very uncanny. That's for sure.
Exactly.
Very strange.
Very strange.
Actually, yeah. Speaking of weird bodies, I was reading something about the breast implants that people get. Whoever wants to get it can get it. And they go moldy inside. Moldy inside of the – and make you sick.
Can you imagine the dangers of having silicon or whatever
in your
body? This is a good conversation. And you insert it into your body, so it's and that's what's causing a lot of again, body kind of dysmorphia and brain issues and probably cancers. Yeah. I would say.
And I think autoimmune issues. I think it's
guaranteed autoimmune. As soon as your body detects there's something strange in it. And this could go into your teeth, having artificial teeth implants and things like that. It could be doing the same thing. Yeah. I'll tell you, my experience when I was briefly dating on the single scene last time, 6 years ago, 7 years, whatever it was, I met five or six different chicks. At least four of them had breast implants that and plus this other thing that sending photos of parts of your body, I've never seen that before. It's like, you didn't do that. But, next thing you're getting pictures of, boobs and things like that. I actually encountered three different types of breast implant. And so one of them, the only one that I thought actually was accurate, and the girl said to me, who lives not far from me, I do believe still, she said she'd had them put underneath the muscle, and they don't do that operation anymore, or they didn't, but you could not tell, and they were still, it was incredible, because these new ones, they go over the top, they kind of slip them, they just do it like a keyhole surgery and put them underneath and inflate them. I'm telling you, it cannot be healthy for you.
No way.
It is not.
But I know several women, though, that got them done and then they went on to have children and they couldn't feed their children because the implants had damaged all of their breasts.
Can you imagine the children, the hormone disruption from having silicone plastic put underneath your body? And then the poor baby gets that straight into their system.
Yeah, born into it, basically. Like,
That's what I'm saying. It's the weaponry that's going on to disrupt ourselves, our bodies and our minds and everything, is at a different level of anything predicted in the 40s when Julian Huxley read his, I think it's called the speech to UNESCO, 1947 or 46 or whatever it was, when he said that we're going to take man off his pillar and make sure that man is not, doesn't think he's so superior anymore, and we're going to use food injections and injunctions, whatever that means. Well, I think I know what it means. And their water, everything. They're going to fuck with everything. So every time you go and buy a bottle of water from his newsagent, because you don't want to drink the tap water because you think it's got whatever inside, and yes, it has. Yes, it has. It's got lots of things inside it. You've got plastic-infused water and your, so every, particularly for your baby, make sure that if he starts teething, you go and source and order a dummy, because they do help, but it's got to be a pure latex, you know, something natural, like pure rubber.
I think it's the natural rubber, yeah.
Yeah. They're really important, because my little fellow, definitely the mini me, he had a, he called it his mini. He goes, mini! He didn't call it a dummy, he called it a mini, funny enough. And he walked around, because I never let them see me smoke or drink or anything like that. I was very careful. I didn't want them to be seen as being a, but he'd walk around with his dummy and his bottle, called it a bop. And he'd have it, and he was literally walking around like a, you know, when he was just started walking with his, he'd stick his dummy in his mouth and then have a slip of his bottle. Bah. And he'd, whether he'd seen me somehow or whatever, he was mimicking me and watching me, you know, and copying. And he was the third baby that was the last one to give up bottles and dummies. I don't think dummies are bad. Yeah. You're listening to Retail 63. Bye.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
You're listening to April the 2026, 18th of April 2026 on Retail.
Thank you, Ken. You can go home. go and relax. But yeah, no, definitely you're listening to Retail. Whatever the date, 18th of April. I'm going to go. Now, I have to tell you, I'm going to fly to Melbourne on Thursday morning. And can you believe how cheap it is? Did you know it's almost cheaper to fly to Melbourne than to get the train to the Whitties, Sydney, from up here? Return $200. I could get accommodation in Melbourne for, if I wanted to. Well, I researched it, and some of the places are a bit too cheap. $50 a night, though, for accommodation in Melbourne. But my son has written a musical, and he's performing it in the university next Friday night. So I'll be going to Melbourne. So I won't be here Saturday night, possibly. There'll be no Be Told Saturday night. Or Rick and Rollo. If Rollo does resurrect himself, it will be next Sunday, the next show. I'll do another one between there and then, but there will not be a Saturday night show at the stage. Yeah, no, but what my advice, so for particularly boys, is make sure every part of their food is completely, you're making it and it's natural.
Yeah.
And we were, so my ex used to make, what she did, and she wanted to start a business, and she's a real high achiever, a typical Leo. She wanted to start a business and do the stuff, and she was like, she'd blend up like carrot, you know, really, you know, good food, and put it in the freezer, and you'd have it like for a week or 2 weeks. You could just bring it out and not defrost it in a microwave, but let it thaw out. That's a really good way of feeding them, because
that's what I do. It's just easy, so you don't have to think every day what to make.
No,
and it's fresh.
The most amazing thing is that these little munchkins. We used to be eating our food. We'd order Thai or whatever, you know, different, you know, exotic things, whatever. When we were in Sydney, and all of them would cut, they'd love Thai food because it's full of sugar, but it's usually cane sugar, so I don't think it's that bad for them. But when they get to about, all of a sudden they get to about five or six, and good luck feeding them. You're going to have the battle of the you've never had before. They're just going to go, look at you and, nah, I'm not eating that. But I'll tell you the secret. You're here, and this is why you're here tonight. You're going to hear the secret. I use what I did when I first started noticing how this worked on my niece, my sister's daughter. She was a really fussy eater. And so I said, no, I'll bet you I can make her eat. So I used to come in and I'd go, I used to pretend to be this kind of, I'd come in with a funny walk and I'd say, if you eat this food, I'm going to get really, really angry. So do whatever you do. Don't eat this. I'm coming back in a minute. And then I walk out of the room and she just like sit there going straight away, like spooning as fast as she could just to do the opposite of what I said.
That's it.
I suddenly realized humans, a human being will do the opposite of what someone says just to spite them. And all my kids, I did the same thing, or I used to do this plane thing. Like I'd pick the food up and I'd roam it, fly it around the room, whatever, and then come back and flick it at them or something or other. And they'd laugh their heads off. And then you could just keep feeding them because I'm not joking. Kids become really fussy about what they eat. And I think it's something to do with the taste buds on the tongue. I think they get real sensitivity.
Maybe they get overwhelmed. Yeah.
Something well, like suddenly that they taste more and like forget about onions and like will he eat onions? My youngest, no problem. My daughter, obviously, she eats anything. She was fantastic. But the other one, the one that's in the room not far from me, he went from eating anything you gave to him to I'll not eat it, and he would not eat it. No matter what I tried, no matter what tricks I tried. So, but as long as I eat something, but, you know, look, honestly, it's a battleground being a parent. It is an absolute battleground. You're going to find out. You're probably already going through it now. Where does your husband have to go to work? Does he leave this? Is he doing fly in, fly out, or is he just...
pretty much. He goes to Central Australia.
You know how many people up here are doing that? A lot.
Well, you have to, otherwise you can't just have a normal job anymore.
No, it's like bullshit.
For my husband, I mean, you're at a different stage of life, but he has to support me and the baby as well. So he just goes out and makes money and... He's good. So.
Comes back. It's a real battle being a mother. But that's why I've got the highest regards for females, and particularly my ex, despite the fact that I may be a bit nasty every now and then. But she was there for them when I was working away and earning money, and you know, because I wanted regular money. I just find up here is so difficult to get regular work unless you want to work for the council. I hate bosses. I hate being a part of an organisation. I like being self-employed. And if you want to be self-employed, you've got to get out of the area.
But, you know, and that's some people don't suit just a regular job.
I don't suit a regular job. I can't.
That's right.
Stand.
And most people don't.
Yeah.
Because so many people were so difficult to work for or with, you know, it's...
Guess what? There are, still to this day, mandates you must take flu shots and vaccines if you want to work with the old people. And that is 90% of the work up here is working for...
That's right.
Home. And say you're a plumber or a carpenter... Or a maintenance man, and you're working for with the most workers up here, working for these over 55s. If they tell you you've got to have it before you get, you're not going to get a job if you haven't got one. You've got to take it, and I'm not prepared to do that.
Couldn't you just knock something up on Photoshop?
Well, yeah, apparently you can. Yes, you can. Of course you can. You can do anything. If you can make fake $50 notes, or if you've got the right machines. But I think they do check, and this whole digital thing. That's
how would they though? How would they check it?
Because
They can't ask the government for your personal information. That's illegal.
Yeah, apparently not. Apparently not. Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. This is the other scam that's going on at the moment. This anti-sovereign citizen thing. It's just on steroids over here.
That whole topic does my head in. It's like there is no way out. Just leave it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
That's what I think anyway. Like, I'm sure this. It's just you can't, unless you go live on a reserve somewhere in a tent and, like, not do anything, you can't escape it.
No.
It's just unfortunate, you know. It's just the world. Like, what are you going to do?
And I was just reading parts of The Shape of Things to Come by H.G. Wells. It came out in 1933, his book, and then the movie came out about 3 years later. Everything was about the vig, they call them the vigil, and that's basically these things that fly around above your head controlling everybody, and it's coming. The drones are going to be here. They're already using it on the surf life saving and bushfire, et cetera, and they're saying how wonderful these drones are. These things are going to be flying around, just like in 1984 when, goes into it. He's in his room and there's a little helicopter flying outside his window filming him. It's coming for sure. And you won't be fishing, you won't be hunting on people's land, because you're going to be called a eco-terrorist. It's already come out in a couple of Hollywood movies that you are ruining the environment. You're fishing, and how dare you fish in an eco environment?
That was that ties into that whole vegan agenda. I think veganism that is evil to its core.
Oh, 100%.
And I think they try to brainwash people into thinking they can survive off plants, which you can't.
No.
And then in turn that deters people from fishing and hunting, which is what people are supposed to naturally do, to eat your natural food. But it's all part of it. All part of it. It's just slowly chipping away at your...
Going back to you here, when did you think at an age, woke up to this whole thing?
I think probably when I was like 19, I think. Maybe 19 or 20.
Mm.
When YouTube was really good, before it became YouTube.
Yeah,
it was just like a platform where you get the most wild, wild shit on
anything. Anything. Yeah.
Which was, to me, the most fascinating thing. And I thought, this YouTube is incredible because it's just all types of people making videos about all types of stuff. Like that.
Whatever.
Not necessarily just conspiracy. It was just fantastic information about whatever. And that's when I saw the Twin Tower stuff. And I was like, whoa, I've never thought about that. And I was like, oh my gosh,
That really did backfire in a lot of ways, which I always say, everything backfires. If you tell someone that something's not real and they find out that it is, they're going to turn on you like a absolute demon. And that's what happened with Twin Towers. That woke more people up than anything that I know of.
Yeah, it was a little bold.
And Moon Landings. Which one was it that you saw?
It was the original Loose Change. Heaps of parts. It was in like 10 parts.
And I'm a master level, Jedi level conspiracy theorist. Even back then, I would say I was pretty good. I had a taxi driver saying, "Have you seen this Loose Change thing?" And I was like, "No." But, and he was driving along and he said, "You should write this down." And he, gave me this thing. That was Luke Radowski. Again, these guys, forget about them, they were there set up to put you down rabbit holes.
Yes.
But, 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 you know, there's a condition here. Some people got over their rabbit hole and got out of the rabbit hole and started looking around. There's a lot of other versions of these things. I just go with this. There's some kind of thing out there with their people's voices. I can actually hear them when they're lying, which I think you've either got or you haven't. But if you're 19 years of age and you see that thing and you start questioning, and you came in at right the right time too, because you would have been 5 years away from COVID, so you woke up 5 years before COVID at least. We could smell.
Longer than that. I don't even know.
What about your parents? Were your parents normies? Would you describe them as normies?
I would say ish. Some of the things I say are a bit wild, but I think they like it.
Hey, listen, I keep saying this. To me, personally, if I had money, I would live in Clareville or Palm Beach or Avalon, because when I'm there, I feel at home. And I feel there's a lot more normal people around me. And I always see people that I can identify. My daughter was with me and she goes, "Oh, Dad, that looks like you walking across the road." And there'd be some older kind of ex-surfy guy walking across the road with his board. And I said, there's this vibe about the northern beaches. And the Australian councils, government, they really attacked the northern beaches. There's a reason for it. It's got yellow sand. There's people more awake there compared to you go to Bondi or Cronulla or whatever. I just feel comfortable. I go to cafes there and I see there's chicks walking around old, I kind of identify as they're not that old, they're the same kind of age. Attractive females that look awake. There's something about the normal.
I know exactly what you're saying.
I've always felt that. And I'm talking about
it's such a wonderful place.
Narrabeen Beach, yellow sand, Palm Beach, blah, 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 blah. There's something about the area, but the property prices have just gone fucking mental there. So you can't even buy there.
My brother, he bought a house, I think it was probably a year and a half ago, and he told me the price. He goes, "Oh, I've got a pretty good deal." And I said, "You're smoking drugs, mate. That's crazy." I said, "Good luck."
I have to actually bring this up because it actually fits in what I've been talking about. Where else ever have you seen personal signs stuck on the side of the road on this each side, like happy wedding or happy birthday, happy wedding.
The Bilgola
Benz. Wherever you drive, you see these kind of like personal actual messages from people to people, handwritten signs. That is, I'm telling you, nowhere. And I've been a few places. That is the only area I've ever seen something still going on. That is, there are people connecting to people by writing handwritten signs and putting them on the side of the road, just by attaching them to the trees or whatever. That Bagola Benz area, when you're driving to Palm Beach, there is a there. That area has some kind of spiritual connection to other people that's not involving Facebook, all these other bullshit things. It's real connections to real people telling you about their wedding coming up or the nuptials or congratulations to so-and-so for passing his exam. Handwritten signs just all alongside the road, and the council don't pull them down.
No.
There is nowhere else that I've seen that. And I feel comfortable there. And I said my daughter came and worked with me at Clareville, and we were going to Avalon, this amazing, I'm telling you, the greatest food I've ever had. And I went in there, and me and him, he's South American, and I said to him, he was playing fucking some something weird music that I'd like. And I went, dude, that is the first time I've ever heard anyone playing that music ever. And me and him are having this great conversation. My daughter's going, Dad, you're in your right spot here. It was some little cafe in Avalon that some South American guy's got that does South American Mexican food. It is
Oh,
my God. You know, you get your zones and it's called, what's it called? It's kind of regional. You're in your regional spot. Everyone should be in their spot. I can't stand Bondi. I don't like the North. I've never liked it there. Trinella.
No thanks.
Horrible.
It feels weird. And
don't like the people. Don't like the vibe.
I don't like South Sydney.
No, at all.
People would call me a snob anyway.
No, it's not that. I love Balmain. I still feel extraordinarily comfortable at. There's still
Balmain's a good spot.
There's housing commission. There's lots of pubs. There's poor and rich, but there's a mix of poor and rich. I feel still comfortable there. But there's nowhere else in Sydney that I would rather be than be Avalon all the way down to my friend that took me to Manly, that Shelley Beach, is it?
Shelley Beach, beautiful spot.
Oh, my God. I said to him, I said, why have I never been here before? It's like this. It's like France or
it's Greece.
Italy.
It's like,
Greece, yeah. You're listening to Be Told.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Be Told, episode number 63. What a great conversation here with a real person, and two real people, me and Emu Dance, Be Told, on the 18th of April, 2026. But no, there's a there's got to be a there with this Northern Beaches. I keep saying it to all my children. I said, if I had the money, that's where I'd have a house. I actually spent a lot of time at Palm Beach about 10 something years ago. And I used to go to the Palm Beach RSL. And I've never met more real people that are just not rich. Cause you know, at Palm Beach, the average to rent a house there in summer would be about $25,000 a week, $25,000 a week. For a big, a nice house. Yet, at off season, it's just normal people. It's boat builders, people that do maintenance, landscapers. There's real people everywhere. Tradies. There's tradies everywhere. Because the poor people are having to do the hard work for the rich people. As usual.
There's a lot of business owners. Like the Northern Beaches, like there is a lot of money, but there's also like, most people are business owners, not most, but a lot of trade businesses.
Let me just tell you now, having spent a lot of time there, the money that tradies are making up, if you're doing landscaping and things like that, it's fucking phenomenal. They're doing really well for themselves. Good on them.
Yep.
And good
and
on
plumbers.
Them,
absolutely. Plumbing is
the way to go. I would go this plumbing, electrician, and builder, carpenter.
Yep, 100%.
In that way, yeah. Because you always,
that's a good order.
Honestly, you always need a plumber is, oh my God, if there's a tree in your property and you've got a leaky, one of your pipes is leaking, it's a tree that's causing it. And the other thing, so the next one below that is arborist. These guys are making fucking a fortune. And then cleaners under that, because let me just say this, there's money to be made
100%.
In cleaning. But it's doing things that other people don't want to do. And also, what's it called? No one wants to clean toilets out and things like that, but plumbers, they take the cake. They've got to deal with absolute, literally getting covered in shit as a job, as part of their work. That's why I'll say plumbers and butchers are two of my favourite people.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Down to earth, they don't care, and you get get truth from them, and they deal with crap, literally, both of them.
Mm. Yep. My husband's a plumber, so I know exactly what you're talking about. Well,
at least you're going to get, you've picked well, though. And, you know, Veralicious, her partner, I think, is a, what was he? He had 2 degrees or three thing qualifications. I said, this guy is, what's his name, Ian. He was a plumber and a chef. Was it a plumber and a chef? He was a chef and a plumber and something else. And it was like all of the things that a woman would want, someone that can cook, someone that can unblock the toilet. That guy is going to be the greatest guy that any woman would ever want.
Well, my husband, he's also a carpenter as well, so.
Wow. You've got to pick him well. Pick him well. And well done. Because, look, honestly, you've got to think of how much money. No, I'm telling you, AI will never, ever replace a plumber.
No. That's right. It's fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to be okay.
And you're going to get can he cook?
He can cook, yeah, really well. Oh,
fantastic. Even better. Mm. You've got to keep on though with that organic milk, Bizzo.
Yep, definitely. I've signed up, so I go every 2 weeks.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm glad that I was.
But the baby loves the yogurt. Absolutely loves yogurt.
And you know about kefir as well?
Yeah.
Another thing fantastic, because this is probiotic straight into their little tummies, which is, again, I'll say this again, be told show, constant repeating himself, the stomach is the first brain. Stomach is first brain. If your stomach's happy, you're happy. I have to keep repeating myself, but that's what it's worth. Very sad that we're not hearing from Rollo anymore, but I don't even ring him. I don't want to bother him, but hopefully.
Is he all right?
No, he wasn't all right last time I spoke to him.
Oh, gosh. Maybe check in.
Yeah. Yeah, I should actually. I might do that after we hang up tonight. But really appreciate your turning up, Emu Dance. I'll be back. I would say I would be on tomorrow because I'm definitely not going to be doing much afterwards for a bit.
Yeah, no stress. If I'll keep an eye out. I had to turn my notifications off.
No worries. So I'll be on because I've got nothing to do better than chat away tomorrow night.
Well, you guys do that.
Not you guys. No, I'm talking about me here. There is no you.
Oh, I thought.
No, Rollo's out. He's not coming back.
No, I thought you meant you were going to do a bongversations.
No, Dave's away for 2 weeks.
I misheard you. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, fantastic conversation, Miss Emu Plains and Emu Dance.
Emu Plains. The last stop.
But hey, do yourself a favour and come past. Bring your husband and your baby and come and have a coffee at the. I'm in the main street of this particular area. No problem. Anytime you want to come past. I've given up on that girl. She's as bad as me. Actually, we're both as bad as each other.
We're all as bad as each other. What do you
mean? No, we are. And she says, "Can you meet me then?" And I always go, "No, I can't because I've got to do this." And when I say, "Can you meet me?" She doesn't even reply. But then she comes back and says, "Do you want to?" It's like being in a relationship, but not in a relationship. But it's quite funny. Anyway. Anyway, I'll let you go and I'm going to sign out a little bit and put on a song for the end of the show. But really, hey, I do appreciate you. But do yourself a favor and drop past and come and have a look at the.
I will. House. My husband's back. I think he's back in a week or so he can drive me up there.
Yeah. Fantastic. All right. Thanks, Emu.
All right. No worries. See you, Rick.
You sure do. Eventually. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye. And you're listening to the end of Bongversations. What a Bongversation. What the fuck? The end of Be Told, episode number 63. We're going to go out with this awesome song. And I'm telling you, people need to start waking up and unloose the chain around your brain. Unloose the chain around your brain and start getting it with the truth. The truth is out there, Be Told. And it's Lupe Fiasco. What a great name, too, for the Labour Party. A Lupe Fiasco, because that's what it is. Back tomorrow night, possibly, or the next night, whatever. Thank you so much for listening, and especially to you guys that are listening, because I know you are. There's a lot of people listening. Fantastic. But this is a great song. You have to go and look into the lyrics, because the lyrics are good too, to be told. Thank you so much. A one, a two, a three, a Lupe Fiasco. Bye-bye, everybody.
The uprising has begun. The revolution is here. Your propaganda will be smashed. Your establishment will be shaken to the core. A new regime is being ushered in on the back of the people. We will not be held down any longer. This is a new day.
Appointed by the sums to make you take you, show you how to get it done. Get a if you got it, tuck your chain, remove your watches, brush up on your slang, do the knowledge, disacquaint yourself with making wealth, join a gang, pimp the system, take it hostage, scuff your shoes, get a white tee, say hello to the impoverished. Not completely poor, but they are completely more, in the midst of getting missed and getting pissed and taking yours. What you shaking for? You scared? No, well I'm just making sure, no cowards when I take the cross. Force them properly, we'll break them off. Got them, lead them, free them, teach them, wake them, make them, take them off. Look, homie, run your chain. Not the one that's on your neck, but the one that's on your brain. That they used to keep in check. Rebels that don't have a cause, the devil down and doesn't pause. So we gotta keep it moving so the movement doesn't fall. And this consists of white and black and all that's tired of fronting, tired of jumping. But the man, every time he asks for something, no. Those that think they gotta drink and smoke and just to fit in. Women that think they gotta screw the owner just to get it. No. The overlooked and undercared, it's overlooked, the sun is here, they unprepared, it's overtook, they underwear. You're ready, it's about to change, things might never be the same, me might never be the king, cool, cool, as long as they release the reins, if you think that we are playing, watch us leave it with a bang, boom. Careful, cause that thinker's here. Amongst the crooks and slingers here. Who know the tricks and know the books and what it took to bring us here. Now, a coup is in effect. Usurpers of the throne. Bring the birth for the next and the murder of the known. The propaganda's up, the truth is on its way. This is how a lot felt, they just didn't know how to say. They mouth is here, the stakes is high, the doubt is true. The threat is real, they can't survive what we are about to do.